All right, everybody. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live inside the eye. Today's date is Saturday, November the 4th, 2023, and a good Saturday morning to everyone up and down the Americas and on into Canada, and a good late to early evening to everyone in European and West Asian time zones, and a good late Saturday evening to everyone in East Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web, may all be well with you and yours. It's been quite a comfortable day here in Riyadh as the high hit only 89 degrees under hazy skies and reasonably calm winds. Current temperature is a very comfortable 73 degrees. Sundown was at 5:11, so it is essentially nighttime here. Winds remain a very calm 10 miles per hour coming out of the north, although I kind of question that because I don't feel anything. Hey, I actually don't feel it bad. It should be coming through the window here. Because it's kind of stuffy in here, by the way. But anyways, there's a 10% chance, actually, of an isolated shower in and around the Riyadh region. That was after a 51% chance of isolated showers throughout the greater Riyadh metropolitan area today. So it's down to about 10% going into the evening. And the overnight low is going down to an expected 67 degrees. So overall, it's going to be a very nice evening here. It's already pretty nice. Excuse me one second. Just got to grab something to drink there, guys. all right. So anyways, it's just been a good day here in Riyadh. Yours truly, I'm going to be traveling not this week, the following week. So it's possible that in 2 weeks' time, we may actually have to have a fill-in guest to be a fairly extensive traveling outside of Riyadh. So I'm not sure what that's going to be. So just be forewarned. I'm going to be traveling into some defense and military shows, seeing what's going on out there, meeting some people. As you know, I'm not CIA, some of these trick guys that are, you know, on these various teams out there doing assassinations and things like that. No, I'm nothing like that. I'm what we call a business diplomat. Basically, I handle my own private diplomacy via the business circles. And of course, if you do it at a certain level, it's a fairly effective business. So anyways, we're going to be traveling. So just be warned about that. Not that next week, but the second week. I guess it's going to be daylight savings time. It's going to be ending in the United States. I keep asking. I remember back in the day in Jordan, I just never paid attention to it. And I would show up to the show an hour late. It's like, well, nobody told me. But anyways, I've been following a little bit more now, so I know it's the first Sunday of November. I've kind of got that dialed in. So next week, we're going to get to go off at, I believe, 5 o'clock in the evening to 8. That's going to be a little bit nicer. I hope so. Maybe it's going to be 7 to 10. I got to check the schedule. Yeah, I'll have to check. But yeah, if it's 7 to 10, guys, that's going to be a long evening. Just want to say, again, thanks to everybody. You know, the show, we've really been doing very, very well overall. So for all of you that are out there promoting the show, sharing the show, letting people know that the show is out there, we really appreciate your assistance in that. Because as you and I both know, the content of Inside the Eye Live is really, it's good. It's very accurate. It's acute. And it is also kind of controversial. It can get some people in trouble in certain areas. And so, you know, obviously people aren't necessarily so eager to advertise to their friends and family that you are big listeners of this show. So what you can do to promote the show, again, we appreciate because the show is, again, starting to do very, very well since we made the trip over to Speak Free Radio. Of course, you are, if you're listening on Speak Free Radio, that's great. If not, you can get it through the Inside the Eye Live. You got the player up there. Just click on to the left of where it says live or something like that. You just can't see the button. It's actually there. It'll play through the website. You can then chat at insidetheeyelive.com/live-chat. I have not gone there yet, but that is available now. It's been doing very well for the past, really the past 6 months. And then what else? You can join us here in the studio, speakfreeradio.com/ITEL, speakfreeradio.com/ITEL. And the last one is, and it's not open yet, I'll have to open it, but the telephone lines, let me open it right now, 323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Just checking the settings there, audio and video. And everything looks like it is okay. So it should work just fine. So again, join us either way. You can call in 323-275-1314. You can go to speakfreeradio.com/ITEL and the chat room inside the ilive.com/live-chat, or just click on the live chat button. Okay, that gets you up to date. All right, obviously the big story for a lot of people out there, there's multiple stories really going on right now. You got the Ukraine conflict that is still moving forward, and the various, I guess, lawfare actions against Donald Trump in the United States. But really, excuse me, the big story has to be Gaza, what's going on in Israel. And of course, it's now coming out that yours truly probably had it nailed when we did the show a couple weeks ago. But from what we understand, there was a plan all along. It's kind of been admitted to inside of Israel that they had planned or had a plan to depopulate Gaza. And this plan was actually in existence before all of this thing went down, meaning this quote unquote, this war in Gaza. Well, the issue here is that it looks like there was actually a plan already there. So, okay, if there's a plan, now we have the motivation why this all went down. And I'm going to kind of break it down to you very simply at this stage and try to play some clips to kind of highlight some of the bullshit that I hear going on out there, including in the United States, mainly in the United States, but also in Israel and Israel's spokespeople around the globe. So what you have is this. Hamas sets out, what, October 7th, or almost a month into this thing, and they conduct this quote-unquote uber-secret, uber-successful raid on multiple military units inside of southern Israel. All right, well and good. Comments have now come out that it was so easy for Hamas, they were actually surprised. In other words, there was no resistance. They were actually surprised by how easy it was. Second goal was to take some hostages, actually administrative detainees. The main goal was to get some administrative detainees. Why? Because Israel holds about 1,200 administrative detainees. Why do they do this? What Israel does, and as you know, Israel is a terrorist state. It's a terrorist colony. It's really not a nation. In fact, some people say that the corporation that is Israel actually ceased to exist on October the 31st of just this year, just ceased to exist a few days ago as a corporation. And that's another issue to be investigated. Well, what Israel does is, let's say there is a protest. And as you know, the Israelis, the Jewish people, by and large, probably in the 70 to 80 to 90% range, are total assholes. They're just not good people. They're totalitarians. They expect the goyim to serve them. You know, they have this racist attitude about everybody. And again, depending on which area we're talking about, it could be a little bit less to a little bit more. But the idea that the Palestinians should be destroyed, maybe that's up in the 90% rate. That the goyim should be serving Jews, okay, maybe it's only 60%, something like that. But there's definitely a problem, a serious mental problem with Jewish people as a people. You know, there's just something mentally wrong with them. And who can put their finger on it? They're evil. Who knows? They're satanic. Who knows? They're like a non-humanoid race in a human body. Who knows? But whatever it is about these people, they're just not good people. So when you look at what's going on with the amount of oppression that the Jewish people do against Palestinians, and mind you, this has been going on for 75 years. So what they do is this. Let's say there's some kids and they're throwing rocks at some Jewish soldiers because for whatever reason, Jews decided to, break down a few walls and go in and capture somebody just because they feel like it. So they'll destroy half the homes along the way. They won't go out on the street. They'll just break wall to wall to wall. And so now people are pissed. Honestly, they're all pissed. So what do? They have the kids go out and they just start to riot a little bit. call them peaceful protests, and they're throwing rocks. So what happens is the Jewish soldiers, if you want to call them soldiers, let's just say Jewish uniformed terrorists, I think it's probably a better word for the IDF. It's always been a terrorist organization back to the Stern and Ergen days, and it's nothing different than today. It's one of the most immoral, evil institutions here on planet Earth right now. So what happens is they'll go out and they will just start arresting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. And the reason they're arresting them is not because there's a charge or anything. What they're trying to do is they're trying to hold these hostages, because that's what they are. They call them administrative detainees, and they're trying to hold them hostage in order to dissuade or to, I think dissuade is the word, but discourage is another word, to discourage families or kids who might know that person under detainment from throwing rocks and rioting and protesting, even if it's low, super low-level protests, like throwing a couple pebbles at a couple Jews in diapers, you know, that type of thing. So the idea in Israel right now about an administrative detainee is they're actually physical hostages. When you hear people talk about hostages and the hostages in Gaza need to be released, understand that hostages are, again, that word is being used rather loosely, because the idea of an administrative detainee, which is the Israeli term for it, is a hostage. So the Israelis are holding over, I think 160 children hostage right now. 160 in administrative detainment. They're holding about 39 women in administrative detainment. And the rest of those are, I guess you could call them men, varying ages. So 1,200 hostages are being held by the Israeli government / terrorist organization. And that's exactly what these detainees are. There's another 5,200 or some odd people rotting away in Israeli jails. And who knows when they'll ever see the time of the day again or the sunlight. That's reality in Israel. So when you had the Hamas attack on October 7th, one of the objectives was to gather in some administrative detainees. You can call them hostages, but understand that when you're dealing with the Jewish state, this terrorist colony, whatever you want to call it, you're not playing by the same rules, the same civilized rules that we might be playing with in the West. You're dealing with an organization that is an absolute terrorist operation. It is sadistic, it's satanic, it's evil, and it doesn't matter if it's us as Goyim or even their own people as Jews. They are one of the most dangerous, deadly, callous, terrorist mindsets going on planet Earth today. Now, mind you, we have our fair share inside of our military, inside of our State Department, inside of some of our institutions here in the West, or at least in America. But guess what? We already know our country is run by the Israelis. So it makes sense that we would have this facet going on within our governments or our institutions in the United States. Well, that's the issue of the terrorists. But the bottom line here is that the narrative continues to be that Hamas did this dastardly thing. Hamas did this terrible thing. And it's actually not true. There are too many stories that have now come out of Israel that says that it was the Israelis who did most of the killing on October 7th. It appears at this stage, and remember, deception is your greatest enemy. It appears that there was a stand down. Israel sent in some death squads. They went in, murdered whatever they could, and killed off some of the Hamas operatives, but also killed off a lot of Israelis. So they could create this narrative of Hamas being this barbaric butchery army. Now, that's not to say that Hamas is all wonderful, peaches and cream and all that, but there's too many, frankly, a fair amount of statements coming from hostages that said actually they were treated like very civilized, very gentlemanly by the Hamas operatives. So go figure that. So what's happening now is this. Stage one, you have Netanyahu, which is a criminal. He's being tried, or at least he's been put in the docket in the courts in Israel. He was trying to change, in fact, did change the I don't know what they call their constitution. It's not really not a constant, but their state law rule, or the Israeli state law rule, or something like that. That basically defines what is a quasi constitution in Israel. And he changed the entire judiciary. He just changed it to suit his own needs so he can do whatever he wants so that he won't ever get tried again in courts, probably. So he changed that. So there's over 1 million people on the streets. There's talks of literal civil war inside of Israel days before this thing broke out. Okay, so it breaks out. Now we know two things. One, Netanyahu stands down. Two, in all probability, he sends in the IDF, but on top of the IDF, he sends in death squads. Three, he ends up willfully killing a lot of Israelis, over 1,000 Israelis, plus the Hamas operatives, just to drive this point to the global world. And yes, I'm this cynical about the Israeli state. I am definitely this cynical. So most of those deaths were not brought to you by Hamas. They were brought to you by Netanyahu and his terrorist organization, which is part of Likud and the settler movement. These people have no qualms, folks, about killing anybody at any time. They are like Emma. They're like M13 with a uniform, all right? Less the tattoos, but they're the same thing as M13. They're like gangs. They'll do whatever they're told. If you want to kill off 15 Palestinians, hell, they'll do it in a heartbeat. Praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Praise Jehovah. Praise GD, whatever the case is, and they'll do it. So that seems to be how this scenario starts to unfold. Number one, Israel stands down. They know about this is going to go down. Number two, they understand the entire game, but Eric, evil type of institutions by sending in your own death squads to kill off a lot of people. And then number three, you're going to use this deception. Here's where we lay the deception at this level. And you're going to take that out there to the global community, utilizing what? Your media assets. And now you're going to sell this story of how we've been attacked by Hamas. It was a brutal, barbaric attack. It was the greatest thing, the worst thing that's happened to us since the Holocaust. You know, I forget. It's hard to keep these fake things in my head. So it's ever since the Holocaust, this is so terrible. And the whole thing is deception. It's all just a bunch of lies. They either did kill a bunch of people or they didn't. You don't know that there were actually 1,000 Israelis killed. You're just being told that by your media, and your media is controlled by the Jewish state. So we don't know really how many Israelis were actually killed that day. We don't know. And you can't trust Jews because Jews are what? Never mind. Starts with an L. So, you know, we don't know. And then you lay the deception right there. Once you lay the deception, you can start taking this out to the world. You got this Ramaswamy guy or something like that. He's a candidate. He's a candidate for the U.S. president. And you want to hear about a nutcase deceived. Is it this one? I think it's this one. Deceived as it is by all of this deception.
I'm also upset that since...
No, not that.
Would love nothing more than for the IDF to put the heads of the top 100 Hamas leaders on stakes and line them up on the Israel-Gaza border as a sign that October 7, 2023 will never happen again, and then to use all of those saved resources to build the border defenses of the future. But that is Israel's decision to make, not ours. That is what David Ben-Gurion would tell Israel to do. That is what George Washington would tell the United States to do.
Frank, guys, I'm telling you straight up, that guy's a freaking idiot. He is a candidate for the U.S. presidency, Vivek Ramaswamy. He's not American at all. He's Indian. He doesn't have this Anglo-Saxon foundation mindset of what created America. He's not American by any stretch of the imagination. And he sounds like an idiotic, warmongering moron, frankly. You know, put the heads of 100 Gaza and put up there on the stakes. And what an idiot. First of all, dude. And this is where mind war kicks in, everybody. Mind war is all about taking a deception and making the deception real, even if it doesn't exist nor ever existed, but imposing it and making it a reality anyways. And the reality that they're trying to create here was that Hamas was this great terrorist operation. It went in, it did this, it did that, killed all these people, yada, yada, yada. That's what they want to put into play. Because now we know that the Israelis, Netanyahu, already had a plan to depopulate Gaza, to move the 2.1 million people out of Gaza, move them down into Sinai. For what? And it takes you back, of course, to the gas, to the offshore 1 trillion cubic feet or whatever it is out there that's lying off the coast. Add that to Israel's current bulk, or let's just say bundle of gas reserves that they already hold. Some of it in questionable area with the Lebanese, so that's not so much being exploited right now. Part of the Abraham Accords was to create the conditions so that Arabic, mainly UAE, oil money would find its way back to Israel. So where the UAE, United Arab Emirates, for instance, invested $1 billion in one of the gas fields off the coast of Israel after the Abrahamic Accords. Folks, this is all about a gas play. I'm like 97% sure of it at this stage. The rest of it is just posturing and excuses. Look, Israel had the means, the motive to go after this thing. They needed to make it to where they could scare the shit out of the Palestinians, bomb the shit out of them, which they're still doing, scare the hell out of them so that they can then move down into Sinai. Of course, the Israelis, not being the smartest guys on the block, are currently bombing and strafing, essentially, everybody going down to the south. So now everybody's like afraid to go south because they know they might be a target by the Israeli government. So the idea that Israel told them, well, we told them to go south. No, you told them, but you never had any intentions of even allowing people to go south. Again, you're just a unique class of liars that has no shame on the world scene. Absolutely none. You have this Ramaswamy again. He's talking about building the most secure border environment for Israel. In the meantime, in the United States today, there is a lot of talk of quote-unquote Hamas and Hezbollah conducting terror operations in America. More about that in the show today. Thanks for coming in. Back right after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Fetch Inside the Eye Live. I'm going through the chat room right now, and I'm about ready to close it. That's right. I'm going to close the chat room. I said good morning to everybody, and I swear to God, guys, they ignored me. The chat room freaking ignored me. I am like flabbergasted. Not one good morning. Hi, Fetch. Nothing. It's like, he's supposed to be doing a show. Leave us alone. Anyways, I'm just kidding, guys. The chat room is doing pretty good. Pretty good. It's humming along. It's not doing great right now, but it's humming along, which is all a good thing. So Inside the Eye Live _ live dash chat, or just go to Inside the Eye Live, click on the live chat button. All right. So yeah, now you're going to laugh after I acknowledge that you guys admit you never freaking even acknowledge me. That's like sucks, guys. That's pretty cool. Yeah, now they're laughing. See, now you guys are laughing after my feelings are absolutely smashed over here. I'm telling you. Yeah, like Fetch, who's that guy? Anyways, good afternoon. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great time. He's just so engaged in the conversation. Fetch is kind of like, he just scrolled right through. It's like, who's this guy? He says, we don't know this guy. Anyways, the Fetch is, He's miffed. I'm shutting down the chat room. I'm telling you. All right, let's see here. So anyways, going to the first segment there, I think we've kind of opened up, and I'm like 97% sure I'm correct on what I'm saying here. Most pundits out there, most political analysts, most observers, whatever you want to call them, they're ignoring all this. They're trying to sell you on the idea that Hamas was just this absolutely brutal organization. They killed all these people. Not that you have any proof of that, guys. And consequently, Jews It's open season for Jews to do whatever they want to the Palestinians. And what they've been doing is absolutely atrocious. I mean, it is beyond, there's no words for it. It is so callous, so evil, so sadistic. It's just, you can't put it. Even a Wolf Blitzer, and hopefully this will play, but even a Wolf Blitzer, who's like a rabid Zionist, you know, even he's kind of like getting appalled. You've had over like 3,000, there's over like close to 9,000 deaths. It's like 8,700 deaths. 3,700 of those, almost half are children under the age of five. You know, I mean, just children, toddlers, things like this. You have another like 1,800 women. And so there's almost no men being killed here. And it's like the Israeli government is like, oh, well, this is like, it's an unfortunate thing of war. And we killed a terrorist. You guys are, listen to Jewish logic here, guys, because this is Jewish logic. There's a person of interest in the middle of some Jewish quarter in Israel. Now, they're all Jewish quarters because, you know, they live there, right? So you've got this person of interest. He's a colonel or something in a counterterrorism unit in Israel. And he's a very high valued target. You'd like to take this guy out because he's one of the key terrorists inside of the Jewish organized terror group known as the IDF. Okay, so fine. You want to take this guy out. So if you're going to use Jewish logic here, guys, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to kill him and everything within a 500-meter radius. And it's all okay because, well, he was hiding within the people. He may have been home with his family, but he's hiding within the people. So it's okay to mass murder everybody around you. Because, well, you know, he's a high-valued guy and we got him. Never mind all the innocent people that are dead around you in the tunes of the hundreds. Because that's what they did at, like, with the Jabalia camp, the refugee camp. They claim, nobody knows. How do you know? How do you know what you killed, actually? Oh, we got a terrorist. No, you didn't, dude. You don't know shit. You didn't know shit. You just bombed the hell out of it because you knew you could kill a lot of people. That's why you did it. You got a bomb. It's expensive. You might as well make it worth its while. Kill as many people as you can. That's the Jewish way. And people are getting appalled by it. It's disgusting. Everybody's starting to see it for what it is.
So Israel just bombed an entire neighborhood of 15 to 30 houses in the densely packed Jabalia refugee camp, Gaza, using American bombs. More than 400 Palestinians killed and wounded so far. This is not self-defense. This is what's called ethnic cleansing. So doesn't Putin seem like a nicer guy every day?
A little bit.
Hasn't it?
A little bit.
It's weird. I thought he was the most crazed psycho killer on earth, but he seems pretty chill.
Seems like he's part of the rules-based order now.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So that's actually Jimmy Dore. It didn't get me to the Wolf Blitzer piece. I'll have to go find it. But anyways, an interesting point here is that after 2 years of the SMO, Special Military Operation in the Ukraine, the Israelis, after 3.5 weeks, have killed more people than Russians and Ukrainians combined, because the number of casualties includes those casualties killed by, I would have presumed, the Ukrainians, because the Ukrainians do the same thing that the Israelis do. And that is bomb a lot of civilian districts. So you've got, for instance, inside of Ukraine now, I think there's been roughly 546 children have been killed so far in 2 years of the SMO. Now, it's a lot higher if you include the pre-SMO period, which is the number of children that were killed by the Ukrainians in the Donbas region. But in this case, 546 children in 2 years. Israel has killed 3,700 plus children so far in 3.5 weeks. All right. Total casualties of civilians since the SMO started in Ukraine is only around 5,500. The Israelis have killed, murdered, butchered, whatever you want to call, over 8,700 in 3 weeks. So it's already 2,000, almost 3,000 more in the span of 3 weeks. Because the way Israel does this is so brutal, we have many tens of thousands now, many tens of thousands, at least 12 to 20,000 now, are severely hurt by these bombings. And Israel wants to go around and try to sell this as if, well, this is just the cost of war. No, it's not the cost of war. It's called the cost of Jewish cowardice. Because Jews are just cowardly, they just want to kill. They want to depopulate this entire area so they can what? Just kind of waltz on in and take it. And there's no secret about this. They just want to come in and take the land. And why would you want to take the land? It's because of business. You're going to have to pay for all of this war somehow. And the way you're going to pay for it is just harvest the gas that's off the shore. You're going to exploit that gas. Maybe you pay for this operation in the span of 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And the rest is just money in your pocket going forward. It's not that difficult to figure out here. And that's exactly what's going on. So you have Trump. Trump is in Las Vegas this past week. And he's just one of these guys that, frankly, I just don't understand. He's doing the same deception that everybody else is trying to do. And that is to peddle the same bullshit that started with the initial deception. Remember, the deception is this. Hamas went into Israel, launched this brutal, barbaric attack and killed all these civilians and took a lot of hostages. No, that's really not the case. Hamas actually attacked a lot of military bases, actual military targets. Did they go in and take some administrative detainees? Yes. Did they murder thousands of people? Haven't seen any proof of that. In fact, since it took a day or so to figure things out, already eyewitnesses are saying that it was the Israelis doing all the mass murdering. So now there's your deception. Trump is in Las Vegas. He wants to continue to sell the deception.
On that terrible Saturday morning, the world saw once again that the conflict between Israel and Hamas is not a conflict between two equal sides. This is a fight between civilization and savagery, between decency and depravity, and between good and evil. There is no comparison between a group that worships death and a group that cherishes life and cherishes our nation. Every single life that is lost in this conflict is on the shoulders of Hamas, Hamas alone. It's Hamas alone. And I think you have to really add in the word Iran. Iran. People don't want to talk about it. There can be no sympathy, no excuses, and no escape from these monsters, and we will do what has to be done.
Now, have you heard there, much of what he said is true, but he's projecting. The culture of death is Israel. The barbaric people are the Israelis. The people who cannot act and behave in a civilized manner are the Israelis. These guys truly believe in their chosenitis. Meaning that they are superior to all of the world. They're above society. They're above civilization. See, Trump is buying into the same stupid narrative once again. He's selling it. He's selling the same deception. See, Trump should be president. I'm going to say it over and over again. The people want him. Now, the people do want him. However, from a diplomatic, intelligence, rational, and reasoned point of view, there are many things wrong with this guy. All right? His selling of the vaccine is murdering thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans. And everybody knows it. His ability to get this thing fast-tracked, this beautiful vaccine fast-tracked, has resulted in a 9,000% increase in excess deaths in New Zealand, for instance. Unheard of. The amount of deaths going on inside of our kids is unheard of. All of this is on Trump's head. All of it. He wants to say he's the grandfather, the godfather of the vaccine. Dude, it's not you. You're too freaking stupid for all this. This was planned a long time ago, and you were just the front man salesman for it all. That's how I view this. He doesn't criticize it. He doesn't warn his people about it. Just go take the vaccine. It's a beautiful vaccine. You're going to love it. Just remember, you would have waited years and years. There's something wrong with this guy. Because one, he's in bed with the pharmaceutical companies. At least it sure appears that way. I don't see any evidence to the fact otherwise. Yeah, he did some shenanigans early. We're going to get the most favored purchasing policy. So whatever the cheapest Pfizer can sell something overseas, well, we're going to buy it at the same price. And yeah, that's going to hurt their profits a little bit, but it's okay because I'm going to give them hundreds of billions of dollars in COVID vaccine profits just down the road. Wait for the operation. Just wait for this thing to go hot. Don't worry. You're going to make a lot of money, guys. Just be patient. Pretend you're incensed with me. I'm going to go high into hiding because I might get assassinated by you guys, but just wait. When it comes to Syria, Trump's a gangster. He's a gangster. There's no other way to call this. You have U.S. military personnel operating oil fields inside of Syria. Okay, where's all that money going? Where's the oil going? It's not going to the Syrian people. So he's basically inside the country being a pirate, stealing all the oil from the Syrians. He goes and wants to talk about Iran. Oh, we got to throw in Iran. Dude, really, shut the frick up. You've got intelligence. You should have intel. But maybe your intel people are just corrupt and stupid. But it ain't Iran. It ain't even close to Iran. The primary backers of all of this is Qatar. They're the primary people. The Muslim Brotherhood is the primary people. There is no strong, super strong relationship between Iran and Hamas. What Iran has been doing the past week is sending in some of their military personnel across what we call the land bridge, which goes from Iran through Iraq into Syria and then into Lebanon. And there's that's a land bridge to get the weapons into Syria. So you have had you've had Iranian personnel coming into these land bridge areas, checking with all the militias to make sure everybody's on the same ball, on the same side. Everything's cool. We're going to keep the bridge open, correct? We're going to do this. What's our responsibilities? What are yours? What do you want from us? What do you want from you? And they're keeping this land bridge open. Main thing, because if there is a larger war going on here, you're going to keep that land bridge open. Now, that land bridge was never there until the freaking what? The idiot neocons decided they're going to take out Iraq on behalf of Israel. And now you've opened up literally a whole Shia minefield inside of Iraq that didn't exist when Saddam Hussein was running the country. So all of this doesn't happen if it's not for the crackhead idiots inside the neocon movement. The neocons are what? They're the Israelis. The neocons are basically closet Israelis. Not quite perfectly that, but you might as well call them that. So Trump, he's right. But he's not being clear who the barbarians truly are. In fact, he's being deceptive. For instance, this is Yoav Gallant, okay? Yoav Gallant is the head of the Minister of Defense of Israel. His statement here. We are fighting human animals, and we are acting accordingly. That's the Minister of Defense of Israel. We are fighting human animals, and we are acting accordingly. Now, does that sound to you like somebody who's civilized, Mr. Trump? Really? That sounds like somebody that is actually going to abide by Geneva Conventions, the rule of law, let's just say the rule of warfare, the laws of warfare. Does this sound like somebody you can actually talk to with some type of reason and rationality? The guy's a fringe psychopathic nutcase. You got Ben-Gvir. He's the Minister of National Security of Israel. Quoting, The only thing that should enter Gaza, as long as Hamas doesn't release the hostages it holds, is not a gram of humanitarian aid, but hundreds of tons of explosives from the Air Force. All right. So basically what Mr. Trump is trying to tell you is that he agrees with the genocide of the Palestinian people. He's agreeing with it 100%. First, he's buying into the deception of the Israelis. He's so far up Israeli you-know-what that he doesn't actually seem to get what's really going on. He's an Israeli firster, everybody. Everybody says, oh, we're going to save Israel for last. We're going to save them for last. Okay, show me. Because right now, I don't see it. I see a land bridge, not a land bridge. I see an air bridge of over 100 C-17s. I see a bunch of C-5As, which are like the super Stratofortress carriers, you know, the big aircraft flying in. I think each one holds like something like 70 tons worth of material, something like that. I've got British aircraft coming in. I got this huge bridge of all this crap coming in for the shitty little country of Israel. And it's either going to be used for that or they're going to have to feed and fuel their bases where they're stealing all the oil in Syria. Who knows exactly what all this munitions are for? Is it for the shitty little country of Israel? Or is it for bolstering our defenses? Because everybody knows we're sitting ducks out there as Americans. You have Gassan Alian. He's a major general of the Israeli army. Quoting, human animals must be treated as such. You wanted hell, you will get hell. Well, first of all, it's all based on deception, folks. The deception is that Hamas went in and did all of these murders. You have no proof of that. Listen, they're asking us to spend $14.9 billion. That's our U.S. Congress passing a bill for funding $14.9 billion. And they expect you to say nothing and not question it. No, you're in our pockets, guys. If you don't want our commentary, if you don't want our analysis, if you don't want our opinions, get your freaking hands out of our pockets. See, and that's the whole thing about this Jewish scam. They want to go ahead and steal everybody's money, but they don't want you to say anything about it while they're stealing it. How is it that you think we as adults should sit there and say, what? You're talking about animals? That sounds a bit from the Talmud, doesn't it, dude? Are you a big Talmud worshiper or what? Because who else would use the term human animals? Not even we say that about Jews. They're disgusting. Yeah. We don't call them human animals. You know what I mean? Even we don't stoop to this language. We find them disgusting. There's many things to be said, but we don't use this Talmudic language. And yet Trump wants to tell us that this guy is civilized, that he represents the best of human nature. You have Daniel Hagari. He's an IDF spokesperson. The emphasis is on damage and not on accuracy. Trump. Again, you know, you're up there in Las Vegas in front of all of your little starry-eyed fans. Oh, Mr. Trump, yay. And you're going to sit there and tell us in the international community that you actually are making any freaking rational sense? The emphasis is on damage and not accuracy, and that's an IDF spokesperson? So what you're really saying is that unilaterally mass murdering of people using U.S. military weapons is not barbarism? That somehow this is supposed to be the epitome of civilization? Sorry, Trump, we disagree with you, dude. Because we understand the Jewish mindset. Gaza today, us tomorrow. It's very simple. We get it. Gaza today, the British tomorrow. We get it. Hell, the IDF or the Stern and the Ergen have been doing this type of stuff against the British since the 1920s. I just don't find a way to agree with Mr. Trump. Yair Lapid, he's a former prime minister of Israel. If the international media is objective and shows both sides, it serves Hamas. Let me repeat that. Yair Lapid, again, former prime minister of Israel. If the international, sometimes I gotta do that. If the international community, let me find that thing again. It's right here. If the international media is objective and shows both sides, it serves Hamas. It's like, I don't know why you hung up there, dude. I just want to finish my point. So, I mean, think about that. Let me get rid of this. Just bear with me, everybody. I got to close that down. Okay. What you're really saying is if you're telling the truth comes down on the side of Hamas. Now, how does that even work? I mean, think about it. How does that work if you're telling the truth, it sides with Hamas? Why? Because it's the Israelis that are the barbarians. It is the Israelis that are uncivilized. It is the Israelis that is a death cult. Everybody knows at this stage that Judaism is a death cult. Anybody that pays attention to it knows that the child sacrifice, the human trafficking, the propensity to harvest organs, a lot of this lies within the Jewish community. It's one of their main business models. And people are starting to get this now. So again, where is Trump talking again? Where is he coming from? He makes no sense. In fact, he just sounds like he's part of the criminal mafia. And you should not discount that he's not, frankly. You should not. Maybe Trump is a part of this criminal mafia. And until we see otherwise, he sure seems to be supporting it. We have another comment here. Mirav Ben Ari, this is a female, member of the Knesset. The children of Gaza have brought this upon themselves. Excuse me. The children of Gaza have brought this upon themselves. Okay. So you're a 5-year-old kid, right? And you're just there to try to make peace and enjoy yourself a little bit because, you know, it's your life and you got nothing else really you can do. And next thing you know, you have this anti-life, barbaric, criminal, disgusting people known as the Israelis saying that all of the bombing going around you is because of you, because of what you've done. Well, let's listen to a nice 5-year-old girl talking about Gaza.
I'm Jenna. I'm Palestinian and British.
Where do you live, Jenna?
In Gaza.
And how has Gaza been in the last few days?
Not very good.
What's been happening?
In the morning, in the night, there's lots of bombing. And we have to worry about the house shaking. If it shakes, it feels like it's slowly, 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 slowly falling. And if we hear some loud news, I get scared. And mommy hug everybody, so we be protected. We are children. It's not right to do that to children.
And
we are families.
Yeah. And does it happen all the time? What?
It happens all of time.
And what happened yesterday? How did you feel yesterday when we had to run and leave?
Not very good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Were you scared?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how does it feel that... Are you living at your home at the moment, Jenna?
No.
Okay, and how does that make you feel?
Sad. I really miss my home, but I can't go. Okay. There's lots of bombing. Even in Dogland, there's bombing.
In Dogland, yeah, they didn't.
So as you can see, now, according to the Knesset member, Mirav Ben Ari, that little girl has brought everything down upon herself. Now, to Mr. Trump, again, you want to buy into the bullshit deception. You want to sell the bullshit deception brought to you by your Israeli friends. Frankly, we're not buying it, dude. Not for a second. You seem part of the criminal mafia that is behind this entire depopulation scam. Crime, really. It's the Feds back with more after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent media for the politically aware. It's coming to you again from Riyadh, where we are now thoroughly in the fall season. Summer has now finally been broken. Nice day today, 89 degrees. Throughout Riyadh today, there was a 50% chance somewhere within Riyadh. We didn't get any here where I'm at, but it's been a pretty nice day. A little bit of breeze, not a whole lot. Hazy skies. Right now, I've got the cat. She is up there in my studio window. It's a very small window. She's chilling. I don't know what she's looking at, but there looks like there's something she sees down below. And it's got her keeping her quite interested, whatever the case is. So she's having a great time. And other than that, everything's quiet. Let's run out to the phones and let's bring on Always Honest. Hi, you have to unmute yourself, but hi, Always Honest. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm upset. It's really hard watching what's going on over there in Gaza, being that I'm Palestinian and I'm watching my heritage being blown up, mostly children. It's sad, it's horrific, and I can't believe that the world community, at least the general, the population, is against all of this, and all the governments are just moving forward and supporting murder of children. It's horrific.
I saw a picture. Yeah. You know, you have to have a stomach, everybody, to go look at these pictures. I saw a picture in, I think, Rifah Hospital, and the amount of children literally stacked up like cordwood with some couple of adults thrown in there was just actually horrific. It's like, my gosh, what the hell is going on over there? It was just horrendous. Literally just stacked up in the hall because, you know, they're dead. Not much that you can do. You know, there's no refrigeration, nothing. Obviously, you got to go through the proper burial ceremonials with religious rites and all that stuff. And just absolutely horrific what I see happening over there.
It really is. And, you know, there's more than just the gas fields, the natural gas fields that they're after. Back in the 90s, they proposed, now keep in mind, all of the straits which allow the ships to pass through are controlled by Arabs. The Jews in the Western countries don't want that anymore. They want the Ben Gurion Strait to be built, which they're putting out 500,000 nuclear blasts to create a gorge right through Gaza. So right now the plan kind of veers to the right and goes around Gaza. I guess they decided that just wasn't going to work. They wanted to go right through Gaza. That's why they're just eliminating everything and want to turn it to dust, because they're literally going to flood it with water, like 150 kilometers by 600 kilometer area, that's going to be flooded with water after they blow it up to open it up and make it big enough for a canal for big ships to go through.
I heard about this today. In fact, I just heard about that. I didn't quite understand it, but you've actually, you're clearer than the article I read. Because they were talking about the water. I'm like, what do you mean the water? So it sounds like what you're saying is they want to come up off the Red Sea. I guess it's got to be the Red Sea. Is that true? And then basically...
that's right. They're going to create like an alternate to the Suez. Yep.
They want to take like an alternate Suez Canal.
Yeah, so...
And they were saying that this was supposed to go north of Gaza. And the same people are saying what you're saying is that... But now what it looks like the plan is that they just want to depopulate northern Gaza and move it through northern Gaza. It's just going to be cheaper to get it done this way.
It is. And there's a specific geological reason for it as well. So sand, it's very difficult. When most, as we noticed in when the ships got stuck in the Suez Canal, sand is volatile, so you can't really control it, and you have situations like that, so the larger ships would have a very difficult time. But if you blast through rock, there's no sand. So going through that path that they have lined out is actually the path of the easiest and more structured way of building the foundation, because you're working with rock and not sand. And that's why it's going through Gaza. And yes, they're planning on flooding, basically blowing up that area from the Red Sea all the way through to Gaza and into the ocean. into what is that, the Dead Sea there?
No, not the Dead Sea. Yeah. That'd be the Mediterranean.
The Mediterranean, sorry. Up into the Mediterranean. So they're going to go from the Red Sea all the way to the Mediterranean, and they're going to put 500,000 nuclear blasts to do it. In like 500,000? That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. You'd think they could do it with these giant boring machines, just put two side by side and just start churning that thing out.
Yeah, they probably could.
You know what I mean?
Know, that's thinking about people. Okay, I don't think.
Yeah, because these boring machines are massive. Mm-hmm. You know, just.
But they need to clear like the whole machines area. Side by side. They have to open it up to make a canal. So, you know, they're not gonna. They're not making a tunnel. They don't want anything above it. So, you know, that's why it's being blasted. It's being opened up like a rock quarry. You know how they blast
Have
rock
quarries. Have they started this
open?
Project? Yeah, of course. Have they started this project already?
They have, and that's what they need, the $14 billion that they're asking for from America. You know what that rebuilding process is? That's actually the building of. Yeah, part of it is included in that cost, in that bill.
So they want to bypass. So what you're saying is everyone wants to bypass the Suez Canal, which has a lot of rates. It's expensive to bypass, and they'll make it faster and shorter through this new canal.
Well, no, it'll be controlled by Israel and America, and not the Arabs as well, because the others are controlled by the Arabs. There's three other canals there. There's Suez, the Hormuz Strait, and I don't know what the other one is. But there are three.
The Hormuz Strait's not a canal. It's just a big body of water. It's not, but it's controlled by Iran and Iraq and Kuwait and Bahrain and these things. And then, of course, policed a lot by the Saudis and UAE and Iran and the United States, Britain, everybody, pretty much.
Arab controlled.
So you're right about Suez. And pretty much, yes. And then, of course, what is it? Panama Canal, it's like they've got such a drought, they can barely use the thing anymore, and it's controlled by the Chinese still.
I think that's all intentional. They want to push. Everything that's happening right now is intentional and was planned. And I posted in your chat, if you go back, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Economist cover for Christmas of 2012, they did a double edition. The Economist. I posted it into your chat. By the way, you guys need to check out that chat. First of all, just to get to the chat in Chatango, the minute I start typing, it disconnects me from what I'm listening to online at Speak Free Radio. So I can't chat in the chat group at Chatango and listen to you at the same time. It won't let me. And I don't know if that's my phone or...
Well, try to send it. Well, maybe try to send it through Inside the Eye Live. The player will be on the left hand side of that player. You can't see it because we can't get the code to work right. But there is the button there. It does work. So
there's a button there?
That's weird. But yeah, there is a button next to the player. You just can't see it. It's the same color. Yeah, we can't change the color. We don't know why. We tried. It's just in.
It won't let me post like a photo or anything. But I was able to put it into your Chatango chat, and then I just logged.
You know, regarding that Economist, I don't think you covered what's on it, correct?
No, I haven't. But I'd like to just say a little bit. It's from 2012 Christmas Special Edition. Okay, they released it at Christmas, and if you look at the very top of it. There is a character and a hang glider, two characters in hang gliders shooting at each other with, bombs and dropping bombs. And one of them is Hamas and the other one is Netanyahu.
That's correct.
They're in
I know
hang
about
gliders
that.
Attacking each other. Then you have the climate control, control devil who's basically, you know, sending earthquakes and fires and blowing people up. All around the world with water. You have Obama in a pride boat. I mean, it's all there. It's literally all there in one cover. And they call it Welcome
you know,
to
it's
Hell.
Really, you know what's yeah, you know what's really funny about that thing too, and it's kind
Merry
of funny
Christmas.
Is here you've got the Economist showing this thing, right? With the what do you call it? The parachuters, right? in the UK today.
Paragliders. They're actually paragliders.
Paragliders.
What they said they came over with.
That's correct. No, you're right. Paragliders. I'm familiar with this. Now, today, just today, it's been announced that if you wear a shirt, a T-shirt that shows Hamas and the paragliders, that's you can be arrested for that, for supporting Hamas. You can actually,
what about
in
the
a UK,
economist,
in the West. That's what I was saying.
Economist,
yeah.
Economist at this point, since yeah, they showed that back from 2012.
Yeah, that's yeah. That was my point. It's like, but you guys already did this with your paper, The Economist, 10 years ago.
Yeah, talking about.
And now it's like some innocent person here that really doesn't really get it. They just wearing a shirt. You know what I mean? They're not. Mm-hmm. They're really not that politically intuitive. Now you want to jail them for wearing a T-shirt. And you have these nationalists in the UK cheering this on because they're Palestinians. Like, but why would you cheer that on? That type of law can be used against all of us. Listen, if people want to wear something like that, we should be strong enough. And be influenced or intimidated by somebody wearing a shirt. How stupid is that?
Well, free speech is free speech. It's unilateral, and it shouldn't be restricted in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, that also that could be also interpreted as, what is it, intellectual property. You know, that's something that's creative. So they don't want art either, because art shows all kinds of death and destruction. And why can't you put art on a T-shirt? So they want to criminalize art as well.
So true. So
oh,
true.
Yeah, it's just.
I'm chewing on a cookie, man. I can't talk
okay
with that cookie going.
you give me an opportunity to blast out here.
I got everybody. It's called Tiffany Nutty Bites Pistachio. Giving them a break here. And they're pretty good. They're cheap. They're just like a simple cookie, like a nice, good for dipping into tea or coffee. That type of cookie. It's very delicious. It's got
Are you
little
familiar
bits of pistachio
with Richard Medhurst?
No.
He is, well, he's been eliminated from just about everywhere, but he's still on Rumble. And he's pretty good. He is a Palestinian young man. He understands the language. He translated in real time the speech by the Iranian president yesterday.
Nasrallah, he's a Hezbollah. Secretary of Hezbollah.
Oh, that okay.
Yeah, General Secretary.
Guy speaking, right.
Yeah.
I didn't know who it was. I just saw that he was translating the speech, and I thought the speech was rather interesting in that the man was saying, well, you know, we're not afraid of America. We're not afraid of the 50 plus boats you guys put all around us, you know, and know that if we have to go toe to toe with you for every action that you present on us, we're going to hit you even harder than what you've done with us. So, and I know they're taking out all kinds of communications and doing all kinds of things, and it's kind of organized in a strange way that hasn't been organized in years. I don't think there's been an Arab organization messing with the Israelis, right? They don't generally do it as a group. It's just one at a time, but they don't really get anywhere with it. Here it seems to be, and you know, the most interesting development was we had that chairman from the UN resign on Monday, saying that he no longer in good conscience could function in an organization that had no power and no ability to do anything, since they were doing absolutely nothing to stop Israel from genocide in Gaza. When he stepped down, they appointed Iran into his position. Iran, the country.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting how Iran, the country, responds in this position.
Yeah, I know in America, there's this super anti-Iranian underlying tone, you know? When in reality, Iran has never really attacked you. You know what I mean? You've been attacking
Iran
since the
1980s. There's a lot of Iranians
literally.
In America.
They've been very strong against the obviously U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria, But that's understandable. You know, it's their backyard, so to speak, and you're basically trying to destroy the relations in their backyard, and no one's going to let that happen. But, you know, what I see with Trump and all these other loons, whether it's Ramaswamy or Ted Cruz or whatever, it's like you guys, you bought into the whole deception bullshit, and you're either too stupid to know it or you're part of this whole game, and again, you're peddling it.
Yeah.
So, anything else real quick?
No. Just I just wish that it stops. It's just so horrible, and it just needs to stop. I go to bed crying at nighttime, and I wake up in the middle of the night crying. And I know that mothers all around the world are doing the same thing. They're looking at their own children and imagining them on those poor babies' bodies. And it's just, it needs to stop. It's just got to stop.
Well, you know, yeah, and Israel overplayed their card. They really felt that by making this, quote unquote, this massive atrocity, which is deception, they basically created it in media, that the world would be sympathetic to doing whatever they wanted. And you have the U.S., you had Biden over there saying, give them a blank check, do what you want. And they said, thank you very much. We need to depopulate this area. So let's scare the hell out of them. Depopulate it as fast as we can. And it's not going to work. I think over time here, it's going to become a big problem for both Israel and the United States. But unfortunately, a lot of people are going to die in the process.
You know, I did feel a little optimism this week. Mike Adams, who's the health ranger, is a Zionist Christian freak. He's like, he was like over the top, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. Okay. This week, he has flipped upside down, and he is about an inch away from discovering the truth about Germany and Hitler. All he has to do is use his little brain and put it together, because he is anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, and he is learning all this stuff every day, and he's putting it all out there. And he has a good audience.
Amazing.
And he has those Christian wackos are his audience. So maybe there's a little chance that these American crackheads will wake up and see that they are Palestinians and Gaza is going to be America really soon. Amalek and America are the same thing.
It's correct. And Scott Ritter, the previous week, we covered him. There's been a sea change. A lot of people have seen this. Wolf Blitzer, again, I couldn't get the clip to work, but Wolf Blitzer has changed a lot with what he's
been
seeing.
That's a good clip.
A lot of people are changing.
He literally looks like somebody punched him in the gut when he's interviewing that guy.
I'd like to pull it up.
Like
I couldn't get it.
He got hit by something.
You're trying to tell us this isn't a war crime. And the guy says, no, it's perfectly fine to kill all those kids. What's the matter with you, Wolf? What, have you gotten a weak stomach on us now? What's the matter with you, man? You're part of the gang. Come on, it's great to kill children. Don't you know that? Come on, dude.
But they have
come on, get out of it.
Didn't they make quotes from the Bible saying that they have to kill every man, woman, and child, and even the babies in the womb, and that God said to do this? I mean, wasn't that read from the Bible recently?
That's Exodus. Read the story of Exodus. It's basically a story of Jews committing mass murder.
No. They for read years that, and years. He read that out loud at one of his speeches. Netanyahu read that out loud and said that basically they have a right to do this.
Yes.
So he presented that to the whole world. Sorry, my baby's like screaming and playing in the background. Okay, that's enough.
All right. Well, you better run along. Thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome.
And thanks so much.
Have a great afternoon.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all right, let's let that one go. Anyways, if you'd like to get in, guys, InsideTheEyeLive.com. No, go to SpeakFreeRadio.com/ITEL. That's how Always Honest got in. SpeakFreeRadio.com/ITEL. That gets you in the door. So we were talking a lot about Trump and Trump saying that the barbarians, and then we're juxtapositioning Trump's idea that the Jews are the civilized people out there and Hamas is the evil side against what Israeli officials have been saying. You know, we talked about, Yair Lapid, you know, if you cover everything correctly. Let's see if I can get that to come through here. Okay, it didn't come through. Try it again. Try to call through. I'm going to have to cut the phone here. and remove it from the phone from working, because right now it's not, it should be coming through, but it's only going to my phone. All right. Try again. If you're trying to call into the show again, 323-275-1314. So anyways, we talked about Yair Lapid. If you are objective, it serves some asinars. You got to lie, guys, because we Jews are idiots. You've got Ben Ari. She says that the children brought this upon themselves. We have Isaac Herzog. It is not true, this rhetoric about civilians not being aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. So essentially, the president of Israel says everybody's aware of what's going on, so go ahead and kill them because we're Jews, we're entitled. A Benjamin Netanyahu clearly has committed an act of genocide, a war crime. His statement is, we will turn Gaza into a deserted island. Of course, if you're going to do that, Mr. Netanyahu, you're going to commit genocide. I mean, the bottom line, you're committing a war crime. And I'd like to really talk, sit down with Trump private and say, Trump, what's going on, dude? Seriously, I would do that. I'm not that intimidated. I'd say, Trump, what's going on? What is going on here? Is there something we don't know about? Are you really part of this gangster? Because I'd like to know why you support these war criminals. Let's run out to the phones, and it would be to the 281 area code. That should be Bruce. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Yes, sir. It's Bruce. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. Trying to get the show continuing along. How you doing?
Hello?
Bruce, where'd you go? It looks like Bruce has disappeared, everybody. All right, Bruce, fix your rig, man. You disappeared. All right, we'll let Bruce go. He can call back. So again, Benjamin Netanyahu talking how he's going to turn Gaza into literally a deserted island, which, of course, he was all in on getting the place into, what do we call that, just depopulated. Let's see. Try it one more time. Bruce, hi. Welcome to Inside the LA.
Yeah, my thing muted itself. That's really weird.
Isn't that fun?
That's something. Well, let me get this out there before I get muted again.
Hey, go ahead.
You know, when you listen to Benjamin Netanyahu, I believe he speaks Yiddish with a Yiddish accent. And I think you can take something from languages. He says the Italian language, you know, some others, they kind of sing when they're spoken, you know. But with this Yiddish stuff, there's a Hamas, and we must destroy Hamas and Hezbollah, and don't forget what I'm elected to you. You know, like, he talks like he's got a mouthload of jizz in it, you know. He's trying not to swallow it. Did you get that? I mean, it just sounds like a psychopath just by the linguistics of this filthy language that he speaks.
Well, I'm not sure I can go quite to there, but the guy is crazy. I mean, he's in a lot of trouble inside of Israel. And the only way he can escape being in big trouble was to get something to where he could get the government canceled. He's now head of this emergency government. They were really stupid. They went and declared war, which was stupid. They should have just said, let's take this to the United Nations, you know, and let the United Nations try to isolate Hamas for us, yada, yada, yada. But no, he goes and just declares war. Of course, a lot of people don't understand that the end game was to try to depopulate Gaza. So no choice here. So, yeah, I've always felt him to be a crazy SOB, but, you know, I can't comment on the linguistics part.
Didn't his therapist quit, and he actually made a statement or revealed that he couldn't deal with Netanyahu anymore because he's so crazy that he was driving himself crazy?
I did hear about that. That was years ago, though. But I did hear about that.
Yeah, well, I think he's only gotten worse.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
the whole society.
It's kind of been an eye-opening experience for the blissfully ignorant out here, you know. But what can we do? I mean, all of our politicians are bought and paid for. I mean, can we name an exception at the federal level? I don't know. Omar, you know, what used to she, you know? Alien Omar. It's just, I feel like I'm stuck in my own prison here. You know, a political prison. And we have no options. It's just depressing to tell me.
you know, and you come up with anything Israeli centric and it's like 194 to zero, 297 to zero, 16 abstentions, you know, 200 and 394 to zero, you know, whatever the case is, it's like these massive numbers. It's like the country is not that far, you know, that much behind Israel. How do you guys end up voting this way?
They're bought and paid for, period. It's a government, it's a corrupt government. The top, you know, all the way to the middle level. I mean, there might be some people in staff positions, you know, that are operational, but once they poke their heads out, they get slammed down, kicked out, you know, they get ejected. It's like a virus.
We're going into a break.
It's like an infection.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm not talking to you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Back after this, everybody. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live. I've been not in the chat room too much, but I'll say hello again. Why is there a problem in the chat room today? Hello, everybody, again. See, you ignored me the first time. Now you're like, get back in here. Join us in the chat room, everybody, insidetheeyelive.com/live-chat, or go to Inside the Eye Live and then click on the live chat button. It's the only thing that actually works on the website. You can actually catch the latest show if you go to the website. We haven't really launched it. I'm just lazy and busy. But you can actually get the latest show. There's a player at the top. You can actually hear the latest show. Show's been doing very well, guys, frankly. We've been doing good with the radio station. Good numbers live, good numbers on the downloads. And that's it. It's just been doing very well. So thank you for all that, for just helping keep the show moving. And anyways, I'm not paying attention to the chat room today because I've been busy. Let's see here. Where do we want to go? We were talking about really the first half of the show. We talked a lot about Israel. And it really is probably the key point here because it just is. You know, lots of the U.S. government is beholden to Israel. Lots of the Western nations are beholden to Israel. And essentially, whatever Israel wants, we in the West have to do because we're controlled and owned by them, essentially, or so feels. And we see that, of course, with let's see here. You had the ambassador of Israel, don't know his name, but he's the ambassador to Australia, was speaking at an event.
Love nothing more than for the idea.
Well, that's Ramaswamy. That's from
on that terrible
Trump.
I'm also upset that since October the 7th, the focus at the moment is on the other side. Mm. People are trying to suggest that there is some sort of moral equivalence. There is no moral equivalence. We are not the victims. Sorry, we are the victims. We are not the aggressor. Sorry.
Yeah, see, you're getting a lot of this coming out of Israel lately, where you have these people giving these statements, and they are giving you kind of like this Freudian slips. He's saying that, you know, we are not the victims. We are the victim. There's another one, spokesman for the IDF, talking about bombing of civilians.
I tell you that we are not targeting anyone else in Gaza but civilians. Hamas is cynically, but rather terrorists.
But I can tell you that we are not targeting anyone else in Gaza but civilians.
Yeah, see? It's very straight up. So you have an IDF spokesperson saying we are not targeting anybody but civilians. I believe that's actually true. Israel is targeting civilians deliberately. The idea that you can just go bomb up an entire neighborhood because somebody is there that you want to kill is absolutely ludicrous. That is so patently disgusting that it should be seen as a war crime. It is a war crime, and it should be prosecuted as a war crime. Straight up, just prosecute. It should be. There's no way we should allow this type of behavior anymore. That's a cowardice U.S. Army / drone tactic. Oh, let's go kill half the family downstairs, down 30,000 feet below, because we want them dead, and who cares about the family? That is such cowardice. First of all, you're in another foreign land, and you're just murdering people. Same here. again, Gaza is occupied territory. So you've got, again, the ambassador saying that we're not the victims. You have a spokesperson saying that we are targeting civilians. And then you've got this woman saying here straight up, if I have it here, do I have it? I don't have it. That's too bad. I didn't load it. But you had a woman that say bomb hospitals. I remember I called it bomb hospitals. All right, we'll try to grab it a little bit later. So anyways, this is kind of what's happening now. You know, Gaza is being obliterated. You probably will start to see more and more. Gaza apparently is, quote unquote, surrounded. Of course, Gaza's always been surrounded. That's kind of a stupid thing to say. But it's a tighter noose around Gaza. Whether or not we can now see Hamas do something remains to be seen. You know, you had the big speech of Hamas yesterday, and a lot of people were expecting Hamas to go ahead and start to declare war on Israel. That did not happen. You had a lot of tit-for-tat border clashes. You know, you've had Hezbollah taking out a lot of communications towers, I think something like 17 or 18 radar systems, a couple ordnance type of delivery systems like artillery, about 40, 45 Israeli soldiers have been taken out. But for the most part, what everybody is, I think, going to do here in the Middle East, everyone kind of understands the U.S. wants war. The U.S. wants war. They want to just go apeshit like the Israelis. However, you had you've had Israel being told, hey, look, why don't you create some type of humanitarian pause? We're not saying it's a ceasefire, but we should have a humanitarian pause. I think Biden even put that out in some half-stupid statement the other day. And the Israelis have completely rejected it. They're not going to take the humanitarian pause. They're just going to try to blow the shit literally out of anything that moves. It's a cowardly country, but it is what it is. Community, of course, is turning against it. You've had Bolivia now has ceased, cut ties with Israel. Ecuador and I think Colombia for sure, has recalled their ambassadors. Jordan has called its ambassador, The Algerians have voted unanimously to give their president the legal authority to declare war on Israel if he feels that is necessary. So that is now out there and available. We've had talks from Turkey. Erdogan up in Turkey saying, you know, this cannot go on forever. Maybe you're going to find us knocking on your door, meaning on Israel's door. So that's kind of happening. We've seen a lot of movement along the Golan, the occupied heights of Golan in Syria by various Shia militia groups. I believe the guards, the IRCG or something like that, they have IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC. They've actually put some type of base not far now from the Golan Heights. So things are happening. We've had something like 27 attacks now against U.S. military bases in Iraq largely, but also in Syria, both in the various, like in South and Al-Tanf, where it's close to the Jordanian border, but also in some of the oil fields where the U.S. actually operates the oil fields and essentially is stealing the oil. So that is kind of going on. Everybody says on the axis of evil side, as Blinken and everybody else is trying to sell this thing, that they're going to go ahead and try to keep this on a measured basis. Nobody's going to try to let it get out of hand. Hamas is going to be on their own to see what they can do to defend themselves. It's doubtful that the various forces here in the Middle East will allow Hamas to fall. But Hamas is going to be left pretty much on their own, it appears. There'll be a lot of moral support. There will be some support by Hezbollah in the north. But all that's going to do is draw, let's say, 100,000 troops away from Gaza, which is good. I mean, obviously, if you're from the region, that's 100,000 troops that Hamas won't have to face. The Israelis have announced they've taken something like, I don't know, something like 21 or 26 casualties, something like that. We've had a couple of battle tanks taken out. We saw one video of a Hamas soldier literally ran up to a Merkava tank, dropped a grenade or some type of explosive right onto the side of the tank. It detonated, blew up the tank, and a little firefight ensued afterwards. So there's a lot of stuff like this going on. You know, the Israelis are saying, you know, we're not going to send our soldiers down into the tunnels. So how they're going to deal with the tunnels, we don't know. Apparently, there's a fairly extensive network down there, even to the ability to where you can drive vehicles down below. So we will see how that's going to happen again. So a lot of this is just in the air. Again, it's from here. It's going to be, let's see what Israel does, because it's going to be able to work because of probably all the munitions that the U.S. is giving to them. Now, another interesting thing is when you give an F-16 fighter to any country, you have to abide by the laws of war. You just can't just use it. And you've had Blinken, which is the Secretary of State of the United States, out there saying something to the effect that, you know, we remind Blinken that he needs to, or we remind the Israelis to follow the rules of war. And so far, the Israelis have been doing that. But listen, using an F-16 to drop a one-ton bomb on a refugee camp is not defense. These weapons are technically only allowed to be used for defense, literally. So anytime you see the Israelis operating, if they are not operating in a defensive posture, guess what? They're using U.S. weapons against the agreement that was given out when those weapons went overseas. So in other words, you have to abide by certain covenants and restrictions in the use of these weapons. And clearly, the Israelis are not doing that. All right. Another issue, of course, is COVID, the vaccine, the flu. There's been a flu coming through here pretty heavily. Had some people around me get very, very, very sick, some more sick than others. This thing took about 7 to 8 to 10 days for people to really start to clear and operate again. But they're not talking about shutting down the whole country. That's a good thing. But, as we know, this is a lot about depopulation, the whole COVID scam. It wasn't a scam. It was a crime. The whole COVID crime was about depopulation. And Italy has actually set a world record. And it's not a very good thing for the Italians. They achieved, and this is a story that goes back to October the 4th. Italy achieves the unthinkable world record. Get this, everybody. There were no children born in Italy for 3 months. None. No childbirths in 3 months. Italy's dearth of babies is considered a national emergency, of course, you can imagine. And then fixing the problem was part of the policy pledge by Giorgia Meloni, but Meloni has really proven to be a globalist stooge, a pro-Ukraine hawk, a pro-Israel hawk, basically just another one of these bought and paid for morons that are installed into various presidencies and leadership positions around the world. Last year, Italy recorded more than 12 deaths for every 7 births, and the resident population fell by 179,000 to 58.85 million. Now, that may sound pretty drastic, but if you look at the recent statistics coming out of Peru, over 1 million of their population has disappeared in the span of 10 years. 1 million. They've lost a projected 20% of their population in the span of 10 years from the last census. So you add Korea, South Korea has a huge problem relative to births. It is estimated that China has been so stupid. You know, governments like communist governments are just stupid. Well, they've been so pushing their one birth policy that it has now put the country on a reckless careen over the abyss, so to speak. And now it's like, if they can't make things happen within 50 years, 60 years, China may lose something like 40% of its population, 40 to 60% of its population. And all of it's due to their policies. Again, their policies are stupid. They're run by a bunch of communist idiots. Can't say that to them. You know what I mean? Because, geez, you can't criticize Jews. You can't criticize politicians. You're supposed to just let them do whatever they want. And if you don't like it, just be quiet, because they're so special, all these politicians. It's kind of what seems to be going on. But anyways, that's a pretty big thing, you know. No babies born in your country for a freaking 3 months. All right, so Israel. Israel is a fake country. It's recognized by a lot of countries, but actually it's not recognized by everybody. For instance, Israel is not recognized by Saudi Arabia yet. They allow now flights to fly over the kingdom. I would be thinking, why don't they cut those flights? Maybe they should cut the flights of the Israelis and say, you know what? It's time for you to take your flights elsewhere. Jordan should do the same, just as a protest. Take them off and move them out. Tell them, take your aircraft and fly somewhere else. Let's see. Bruce, if he wants to talk. Hey, Bruce, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to hit my second topic because I was cut off by the break there. Sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead.
The speaker, Mike Johnson. Are you familiar with the adopted black child he had?
No, I didn't know that. He's a diversity hire too, huh?
No, this is the worst thing about it. When he was 21 and he was married, he adopted a 14-year-old black teenager and brought him into his home. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was 21, I just got married, I'm having my own baby, and the last thing on my mind would be to bring in, let's be honest about it, black youth, males, they mature faster than other races. They're kind of the first, that's why they're so good at high school sports or what have you. They're basically men at the age of 14. So he brings in a young man into his house from Africa or wherever he got him from at the age of 21. I thought, is that kind of suspicious to you? Because it is to me. And so, I mean, to me, this guy's the ultimate cuck, because he got in so quick that he gets given the stamp of approval by the authorities that we don't see over Congress. I think he's just got so much blackmail material on him. Let's get him in. He's straight up what we need in there.
I didn't know about that, and that's never even made the news. So it's never even been posted.
No, they're not going to report it. You know, he brings it up. He says, well, my views on race have changed because he's accused of being like a David Duke because he's from Louisiana and a Republican Christian. But he said, no, my views on race have changed since I adopted that black child. He calls it a child. No, he's 14 years old. He's a man. He brought a young buck into his bedroom, I think. And I think that's the harsh truth about it. And that's how bad our government is. And, you know, the two people, when you were mentioning about the unanimous support for certain leaders, two of them, Benjamin Netanyahu and Vladimir Zelensky, both of these characters, think about that. Think about that. It's ridiculous.
You know, I think I assume Americans are starting to wake up to this crap, say, what the hell is this, you know? Israel gets everything. We got nothing. We can't even get our borders secure. And all you're talking about is giving more money to Israel. Same with, obviously, Ukraine. So, yeah, I can imagine people are starting to really wake up to this crap.
Have you seen the Chinese suits for freeways they built there? They're like six lanes in each direction or more. And their cities are beautiful. And in other countries as well. Here, like where I live here in Houston, it looks like the damn... like the freeway's been shelled, you know, they're still rough. The big trucks that have lift kits are popular around here because if you don't have one of those, you might break your suspension, you know. But our money goes to protect Jews in Israel and Zelensky's regime that we put in there back in 2014 when we did the coup. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, I just imagine, honestly. Mike Johnson. All right. Fair enough. Thank you much. I didn't know the news, by the way. All right. Thanks. I didn't actually know it. All right, I'll go listen to try to find that information. All right, that's Bruce, everybody. 323-275-1314. 323-275-1314. Also, inside the, speakfreeradio.com. speakfreeradio.com/ITEL. If you are going to go in there, you're muted typically. So you have to unmute. And if that is the case, Michael, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Dennis. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I was following the Bankman-Fried case. So it was a Jewish judge.
Good story too.
Yeah, a Jewish judge, a Jewish judge, a Jewish prosecutor, and I was shocked they found him guilty, but the sentencing isn't until the end of March. Something tells me he is going to get a light sentence. What's your thoughts? Because of Jewish privilege.
Maybe because he stole a lot of money from Jews too. Maybe they'll put him in the same jail as Epstein.
Was Bernie Madoff a Jew? Was he similar to Bernie Madoff?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, 110 years he's facing now.
Not only that, he laundered the money to the Democrats. He gave, and I think that helped sway the election in the midterms. What do you think that had something to do? That might have.
100%. Money buys things, you know.
Yep. And so he laundered all that money to these Marxist Democrats and. You know, we were expecting the Republicans to win the Senate and the House back, but didn't materialize. And this 31-year-old kid stole, I think it was like $20 billion. That's got to be the most money I've ever heard of being stolen. You know,
it amazes.
So these Jews, they've got us. They own America. Ariel Sharon said it 21 years ago that... we can get America to do what we want, when we want, because we own them. We own them. And us goy just have to figure a way around it. We try to boycott, you know, Israel stuff wherever we can or Jewish products wherever we can. I don't know. I'm not that good on boycotting, but I mean, since the money's their God, that's what we need to look at is where we spend our money. What kind of companies do we do business with? Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got the side now where they're talking about, you know, we're going to have Hezbollah and Hamas are going to be coming in and they're going to be creating terrorist attacks on America. It's like, but you have a Jew opening the borders and now you want to scare us about Hamas and Hezbollah, which will be basically Jews masquerading as Islamic militants that you allowed in, and we're not supposed to see that. I mean, if a terrorist attacks, I mean, Mayorkas should be warned. If it actually does happen, you're first, dude. Yeah, you're the first guy.
I didn't understand this, Dennis. So they say Hamas was created in 1978 by Israel. Do you know the dynamic there? So what does that mean? If they were created
by
Israel?
Happened was you had Yasser Arafat. Who was doing very, very well in the Palestinian Authority. So what Israel wanted to do is create some tension and take away a lot of power from the Palestinian Authority. So they created a separate movement called Hamas. And it was all just to divide Palestinian politics into two groups, two camps, to weaken Arafat. Arafat back toward, as he was getting older, Arafat was, you know, more and more respect. He'd weathered the... what do you call it? He weathered the quote unquote, the attack in Munich, you know, and he was basically being seen as a statesperson, very well respected. And people were coming to his side internationally. And so Israel said, we can't have this. They set up Hamas as a counter to the Palestinian Authority.
Okay. And then they ended up killed. Did they poison him? Yeah, sir. Was he poisoned?
Yeah, I believe so. 100%. I'm like, I don't know 100%. You know what I mean? Without, you know, having proof, but my guess is 100%.
So we have these aircraft carriers sitting over there, and they're saying they're completely vulnerable to these hypersonic missiles. Now, if one of those aircraft carriers gets sunk, that's the beginning of World War III, would it not be?
But who are they going to attack? It's done by a small proxy. See how stupid this is? You're putting your military at risk to a third world proxy. Who are you going to attack? You're going to try to attack Iran? Okay, you can go and attack Iran, but Iran can just take you out equally. So it's like, okay, the only thing you have left is intercontinental ballistic missiles. Okay, fine. Because you're not going to be able to launch it by air because they're going to take out your air bases. Iran can wipe out the U.S. military in the Middle East in a heartbeat. They already demonstrated it after Soleimani was taken out. They hit one of the air bases so effectively, and they basically kind of hit it. Next time you get attacked, it's not going to be so nice. And it wasn't nice. You know, we had a lot of our soldiers were hurt pretty bad in that. Not killed, but really hurt with the concussions and the brain damage and things like this. A lot of them were taken out. U.S. is not in a good position.
No, we're $33 trillion in debt. Our southern border's open. Yeah. The currency, BRICS, is looking to walk away. Although I think that's going to take some time, but obviously the Federal Reserve currency is on, you know, it's on life support. And I mean, I don't know. It's just the peaceful way for would be just to have the currency collapse, you know, without us going to war. But, you know, these Jews, they want to take us. They want to take us down. I don't think they're going to do the Samson option. I think they're too afraid to let off nukes. But who knows? They might. Take care,
Dad. IDN Live, everybody, back after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Fetch. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on Speak Free Radio at speakfreeradio.com. Just want to remind you, we still have ongoing our end-of-year fundraiser, really, to help fund the operations for the studio. And you can go over to speakfreeradio.com. Go to the, I don't know, I don't actually know, speakfreeradio.com. I think it's not donate. Maybe donate. Speakfreeradio.com. Maybe there's a donation button. Let me look. Speakfreeradio.com. And yeah, donate. There's a donate button there, and that will let you get in. And for like $50, you can actually get, I'm pulling it up. You can actually get for $50, choose an option. I'm going to choose an option. Hellstorm, the Death of Nazi Germany. You can actually get the, the audiobook for $50 donation. So that'll be just, basically free per se. Donate $50. And I know people donate to me regularly, some, $50 to my PayPal account, which helps fund this operation. And always appreciate it. We have some new things coming up, maybe start of December. So stay tuned. Stay tuned to what might be going on here. We're talking about things. Chat room is actually buzzing along. Wow, we're getting closer, guys, to hitting 40. That's not bad. We're at 34 right now. It's pretty freaking good. All right, awesome. So join us in the chat room, speakfreeradio.com. No. InsideTheEyeLive.com/live-chat, or just hit the live chat button. It seems pretty lively there. You know, it's buzzing along. So, okay, very cool. I don't have any donations. Like, you can't send me like a pumpkin or a diamond and all this other fun stuff to get me money and stuff like that. I don't do that. I don't really take money right now from you guys. I just come out and do the show every week. And I'm sure you are very, very, very miffed by that. You're probably saying, Fetch, take our money. Take it, please. I know that's not true. All right. Let's see. Let's go to. The studio. Where's the studio at? Where's the studio? Studio's here. It's free and clear. Okay. So speakfreeradio.com/ITEL is how you can get in the door there. Speakfreeradio.com/ITEL. All right. I don't know if you heard, there was a big, relative to Ukraine, if you've been following events in Ukraine, there was a fairly big interview with a General Zaluzhny. Zaluzhny is essentially the head of the Iranian defense. He's the Minister of Defense in Ukraine. And in this interview, he basically came out and said, listen, we've kind of not lost the war, but in a stalemate. We're not going to be able to advance. There's not going to be any breakthroughs. What we did was a complete failure. Yada, yada, yada. Of course, everybody knew that, but this is the head of, this is the Minister of Defense for Ukraine. So, okay, got to ask yourself, if The Minister of Defense of Ukraine says that everything is a complete failure and they've lost the war, essentially. Why is Biden talking about trying to give these guys another 60 some odd billion dollars? Can you imagine if you gave $60 billion to each and every heritage American citizen? I mean, imagine that. If you gave away $60 billion as a handout, how much better people would be able to do something somewhere along the way. But no, that's not going to happen. They just give it away to other countries. It gets laundered back to themselves. It's just one seemingly money grift by these politicians. You know, part of the problem, guys, we don't have statesmen. What we need are statesmen. People are willing to come in, work for the country, work for the people, not necessarily even take a salary. And you could say that Donald Trump is one of these guys, you know, because he never took a salary. But I view Donald Trump as an Israeli firster. He'll put Americans up there on a par, but some of his positions are absolutely atrocious. His positions on Israel are unconscionable. His positions on pharmaceuticals and the vaccines, he's basically enabling genocide. He's enabling genocide in Palestine. You look at his stance on red law gun confiscation issues. You know, basically any leftist could make a claim that you're not stable and the FBI or ATF or some other agency can come and disarm you. And Trump's all for that. Like, we need to take the guns before this thing happens. Well, yeah, we kind of agree with you. But at the same time, we also know that this will be politically abused. So we can't agree with you because we understand how you people in the government work. So a lot of his positions, frankly, are anti-American. He supports his Jews above everybody else on campus. So that's a major issue, of course. Let's see. Where do I want to go with this? We got an hour to go. All right. Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, the comments coming out of Israel, by the way, just they're like nonstop. Dan Gillerman, former Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, he came out this past week, said, I am very puzzled by the constant concern which the world is showing for the Palestinian people and is actually showing for these horrible, inhuman animals. Folks, I'll repeat that again. I am very puzzled by the constant concern which the world is showing for the Palestinian people and is actually showing for these horrible, inhuman animals. Now, remember how we started the show. The Israeli deception is that everybody except for Jews are animals. Donald Trump apparently agrees with this. Donald Trump believes everybody is an animal except for Jews, apparently, at least relative to Israel. The problem is that once again, all of these quote unquote atrocities we saw that supposedly occurred on October 7th, we don't even know that they actually occurred, but we do know from Israelis who were rescued or survived that it was the Israeli government who was doing most of the murdering, not the Hamas people. We now know that for a fact. So again, who are the horrible quote unquote inhuman animals? It's the Israelis, bottom line. Fairly simple.
On that terrible Saturday.
I don't care, Trump. Don't want to hear you. I kind of lied earlier this show, not intentionally. Fully vaxxed New Zealand is suffering a 3,000% spike in excess deaths. Again, Bolivia, if you haven't heard, Bolivia has severed diplomatic ties with Israel. And they have called now that accused Israel of crimes against humanity, calling again for the end of the military offensive against the people of Palestine. And Bolivia must, they say, quoting here, declare the state of Israel a terrorist state and file a claim. This thing's covering up with the international criminal courts. Now, we know Israel is not a signatory to that, but nonetheless, there was a Hamas ambassador, not really a Hamas ambassador, a Hamas spokesman. Spokeswoman, actually. And she went to India. She was inside India and she met with Let's see. I don't know where this is. It's just she met with a media concern. She gave an interview, and Israel's ambassador to India, Naor Gilon, expressed concern and extreme disappointment. See, that's the problem with the Jewish people here, is they want people to not have any say except for themselves. An interesting development came out of China this week. In official maps inside of China, Israel has actually disappeared from the map. Now, what that means, I don't know. But once again, if you go into China now, in the Chinese maps, the official maps, Israel has actually disappeared from the map. The name Israel no longer shows on the map. They do show the port of Haifa. They do show Jerusalem. They show the 1967 borders of what is Israel. They show Jerusalem, Haifa, but they do not show Israel by name. Literally, Israel by name has disappeared once again from maps in China. And that's on multiple different state maps. So this is not a fluke. And kind of strange, but nonetheless, it's interesting to see what the Chinese say. Here's this woman I found here. This is the mindset of Jewish people, folks. Pay attention here.
The only innocent people that are in Gaza now are the 229 hostages that were taken. Once they will go back to Israel, we will bomb Shifa hospitals, all the tunnels, and kill them all. It's about time. The world knows that. There's no argue about that. We are the center of the world now.
So there you have it. That actually appeared on Euronews. And this woman is Israeli. She's saying, look, all we need to do is we need to get the Hamas people out. Once Hamas is, or actually once we get our hostages out, we're going to just murder everybody. And that's the prevailing view in Israel. I'm not sure where the numbers are, but I believe it's above 70%, above 80% even, of Jews want to see Palestine essentially wiped off the map. It's a ridiculous number. And it is what it is, I guess. You know, you're talking about the Jewish state. And for people to assume that the Israelis are civilized people, guys, you're not. You're just not paying attention. You know, Bahrain, people in Bahrain, which is largely a Shia country, which means it's more closely aligned with Iran. It was saved by the monarchy there is Sunni. It was saved by the Saudis. The Shia population has been out on the streets, not major protests, but certainly some protests, protesting against what's going on in Gaza. And people are calling now for Bahrain to end its peace agreement with the Israelis. And I'll be honest, same thing in UAE. I don't know why the UAE would have signed an agreement, frankly, with the Israelis. They just don't understand the Jewish people like we do in America. Excuse me. I'm not sure why they did it. Frankly, honestly, I don't know why. So there are a lot of calls now in the streets inside the Arab world to cut ties with the Jewish state. Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, you know, all over, frankly, all over the Muslim world. We're seeing a lot of protests against the state of Israel. So that is going to have an effect, of course, on the local population, not the local population, local governments. That local government is going to translate into the international diplomatic sphere, and it's going to come back to hit the United States equally. The more United States supports mass murder, the more it's going to be hurt diplomatically. And whether or not the United States can sustain all that, again, remains to be seen. There are 16 countries right now that actually do not recognize Israel at all. Saudi Arabia is one of those. Another one is Pakistan. Their passport says it's good for valid to all countries except Israel. Bangladesh is another country, again, UN member, that do not recognize the existence of Israel. See, so it's not even universal that Israel is a country yet. Bangladesh does not recognize them. Their passport says the same thing. This passport is valid for all countries of the world except for Israel. Malaysia doesn't recognize Israel yet either. Let's, I guess, run out to the phones to Mr. E. Hi, welcome. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hello there.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Good afternoon.
How's the fetch doing?
You know, good. I'm doing good.
I'm hearing echo in my ear.
I don't know what to say.
Let me turn off the player. While you're talking, let me turn off the player because it might still be hanging on. There it is. Okay, that's better.
That helps.
Hey, Fetch, just so you know, your listeners know, if they happen to be listening to a platform such as Speak Free Radio, when they call in, they have to turn the radio off. You have to click it off because you think when you dial a number, it goes off automatically, but it doesn't, and it'll cause the echo in the background.
That's right. Radio 101, man. Turn off your speaker.
Yeah, but it's not a speaker. It's when you're on your phone. So if you're using your phone app to listen to the show, and then you dial a number while you're listening, most of the time it'll mute out the player that you were listening to. But in some cases, it doesn't, and it causes echo. It's happened a few times. So just all for right. the benefit of the listeners, if they have yeah, that awesome. You know, problem, that's what's probably causing it. So I got to say, I mean, words fail to express the level of depravity, how sickened I am at watching this, and much of the world is. This is, we're watching.
You know, can you keep the wind? Hey, Mystery, can you keep the wind off of your microphone? Try to get it where you don't have.
Here's what's happening. I'm very busy. I'm at work. I have an active business. So I'm calling you while I'm walking to my car. So I have no control at the moment. If it gets too bad, I'll have to call you back. That's all.
Yeah.
So let me just say this in the meantime. I mean, we are watching something unprecedented. There's been nothing that can be cited in the last at least 70 years of any population being targeted for genocide. You know, especially with the degree of aerial assault, bombing of fully occupied hospitals, bombing of UN refugee centers. Now, if this was any other country other than the Rothschild, Sabbatean, Satanist, modern imposter Israel, I could assure you, and I think you know this, Dennis, they would have received a cease and desist order. There would have been a unanimous vote at the UN, and it would have been followed by UN bomber squadrons over Tel Aviv if this was not the synagogue of Satan that was committing these crimes. And that's what makes it even more appalling.
Yeah, the audacity of it all is amazing. They're like saying, look, these are animals. Shut the frick up. They don't deserve anything. They're bringing it on themselves. You've heard all these things I've been, you know, commenting about what's come out of Israel the past week and a half. It's unconscionable, frankly. Yeah. And yet the U.S. government saying, yeah, it's okay. Nothing we've seen constitutes a war crime yet. Israel has a right to, quote unquote, defend itself. But what do you mean by all that when you talk like this? What do you really mean? Yeah. I mean, you know, bombing Jabalia because you claim one guy you're after is there, so you're going to blow up the whole neighborhood. What is this? And people should be saying that. What the hell is this?
And Dennis, you know, I want you to compare that to Milosevic during the war in Yugoslavia, when you had these Muslims coming down that were causing trouble, and then forces of Milosevic were pushing back against them. Think about this. They started bombing. NATO began a bombing campaign in 1999 against Serbia for crimes that are so much lesser. It would be the comparison of a child stealing a grape from a fruit stand to armed robbery of a bank. That's the comparison. So the outrage is not only that the world is standing by watching the ethnocide of an entire unarmed people with no army to defend itself that has had its food, its water, its electricity, fuel, and hospital supplies completely cut off without a single nation saying, look, I mean, a few have, but without any of the first world nations, you know, member nations of UN that have the bully pulpit, like the United States, for instance, or England, saying, listen, this is an outrage. We are calling for a ceasefire immediately, and we're going to send UN spokespersons to meet with both sides and try to work out some kind of a truce. There's not even a discussion of it, Dennis. Doesn't that shock you?
There is. I mean, the Russians have come straight out and called for the ceasefire. But the Chinese have called for the ceasefire. There has been calls for the ceasefire, but it's blocked by the United States for the most part. There's others, too, blocking it. So it is being happened, but the United States has a huge bully pulpit. You know, they control, obviously, so much with their position on the Security Council. So this is changing. There's been resolutions passed already in the General Assembly. And I'm going to cut him down there while I talk because that's very loud. But anyways, there has been in the General Assembly, things have passed, but these are non-binding. They're not, you know, they're not like, I think it's like been like 55%, 45%, something like that. Mr. E, you close to your car or what?
Yeah. I'm only a block or two away, but it's quiet. Where I am now is a very quiet area.
But no, you just have too much wind in the background in your microphone.
You know, let me ask you a question in the meantime, because I can call you back later when I get there. Here's a question I have for you. You're in that region. I mean, are you still? Because you mentioned you might have moved into Asia, the Philippines or something. You used to be in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia. I ask, the reason I'm asking you that is I want to know, what do you think is it going to take for Hezbollah and other forces to finally say, we've seen enough, we're going in, this is war? What's it going to take?
Basically, the demise of Hamas. If Hamas sends out the word, we need help, then I believe you'll see a little bit more activity in the north.
Seen any evidence of Hamas operating inside of Gaza? I have seen no evidence of Hamas soldiers. I've seen no bodies of Hamas soldiers that were killed. So what evidence is there that any numbers of Hamas are inside Gaza?
That's a good point. A lot of this could be just one big giant play. I've seen videos of Hamas operating. I have seen some. But the reality is that they're underground right now.
Yep.
You know, right now, everybody, Hamas is working underground. They were asked on, I think, Iranian TV, Press TV, one of these, maybe it was RT, but I think Press TV, saying something to the effect, memory, it may have been memory, which is actually blocked here. The website's blocked in Saudi, saying, listen, well, what about protecting the civilians? And the Hamas guy said, listen, we are in the tunnels right now. We have no obligation to protect the civilians. That is up to the Israelis and the United Nations. We're not up there. We're not in the civilian population. So this is an issue of the Israelis are responsible here because we're not there. So if you're seeing all this bombing going on, it's not to get us because we're not with the population. We're down underground, and we are not in a position to where we are allowing ourselves to be exposed to Israeli rocket/bombing. Campaigns. We're just not there. So their point is, look, we're not there. They say we're mixing in. We're not. We're waiting. We're underground. We will come out when the time comes. Right now, it's not there yet. So we're going to wait. And all this idea that they're killing all of us is just absurd.
I mean, technically, they are in the war in Lebanon right now.
You know, Hezbollah has been... Yeah, Hezbollah guys has done a very good job. They've taken out a lot of radar stations, counter battery stations, communications towers. They've hit a few guard posts. So the Hezbollah people have been very, very good at attacking strategic positions inside of Israel. There's not a whole lot of what you call indiscriminate bombing going on by Hezbollah. They're actually using their weapons to hit military targets, unlike the Israelis, who will just hit anything that moves. All right. Anything else, Mr. E?
Yeah. The only thing I would like to say, Dennis, is I know many listeners from different networks like RBN listening to your show. Do you broadcast on RBN or is this Revolution Radio?
I broadcast only on Speak Free that I'm aware of. If anybody else is picking me up, I'm not aware of that.
The reason I ask that is I hear many of the same callers from RBN, for instance, calling into your show.
Mm. Well, I'm the one show that's been around for 12 years, and what could I say? You know what I mean? We share a lot of the audience at RBN in here.
Well, let me just say this, and I want to say this is something that very few callers say, that you are one of the few platforms that allows dissident views without cutting off your callers. I've become fed up lately with some of the other hosts, like this Jim Fetzer, who has me blocked now on RBN and Revolution Radio, because I call up and I challenge some of the false beliefs that he propagates. And then he'll tell his listeners, oh, this guy, Mr. Reed, called in and he was, out of line, when it was completely untrue. I mean, this guy, anyway, I don't want to go into Fetzer, but in general, I'm seeing a lot of suppression of dissident views on these other networks. But you're the one that actually allows someone to come on and challenge a view, a host, a position someone's taken, some other caller that calls in and is making provably false statements without attacking or using profanity.
Yeah, I think
and
we
I'm
should
being
always
watched. I call in.
Yeah, all I can say is we have an open phone policy. As long as you're respectful, we tend to keep the phones open. Guys, we want the extra voices. I do as best I can to give you the most information I can with as accurate an analysis as I can. But maybe, just maybe, I don't know something. And if you're always going to shut your doors, you're going to find yourself getting blinded by something. And I don't like to get blindsided because I'm just being stupid by not listening. So it's always better to keep it open as long as people are respectful. That's my position.
Well, and it's appreciated because it's a breath of fresh air. I find many of the hosts on alternative media, they're all about their ego. So if someone calls in, now I happen to have an extensive background in studying the occult, the history of the New World Order, the Sabbatean movement, modern Satanism, the New Age movement. And so when I call in another host, they get threatened by that. When they hear me citing facts and evidence that they don't even know about, they end up trying to shorten my call, or in the case of Jim Fetzer, telling his caller, call screener, not to allow me in because I'm unmasking him, that he doesn't really know much about anything other than the Sandy Hook for the JFK assassination. He has a very narrow band of knowledge.
That's true. I don't mean to rip on him a little bit.
And I'm not calling it attacking anyone.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, I find that a lot of people, Mystery, have very narrow bands here. All right. You're out of time there, but thanks for the call. We'll be back with more after this. Okay, everybody. That's banjo time. It's Inside the Eye Live. Chat room is insidetheeyelive.com. Click on that live chat button. How's it doing? It's... if I can find it. I got so many windows open. Oh, there it is. It's okay. It's humming along still. All right, guys. Hello in the chat room again. And if you'd like to join us again, it's 323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. The other way is you can go into the speakfreeradio.com studio. That's speakfreeradio.com/ITEL. And that is what Ken has done here. So let's say hi to Ken. Hi, Ken. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hello. Haven't spoke to you in a while.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, you keep bringing up Hamas. Hamas was created by Israel. It's funded by Clinton, armed by Clinton. Pine gave him $75 million 3 days before, all the gates and security were dropped so they could run through Israel, along with their buddies over there slaughtering Israel's to do this PSYOP. And you're right. They don't care about that. They have no responsibility to Palestinian people. They're just going to lay low and let Israel destroy them, because that's the plan. You got the mullahs in Iran. They ain't going to do shit. They're crypto Jews, too. I mean, that's well documented. They were installed. When they brought Comedian after the Shaw, they were losing their grip on the Shaw and the country, so they brought in the next controlled opposition, which was Comedian. I mean, he was a crypto Jew. It's all following to Pike's letter to Mazzini. You got Putin, crypto Jew. I mean, it's well documented. I mean, like I told you last time I spoke with you, Michael Fitzpatrick, Fitzinfo.net. He's got all the Russian documents. They're on the other half. You got Menachem Mendel Schneerson, his letter in 94, how he's going to split the Slavic people because they have to destroy themselves. Rate the plan. I mean, you know, this is all, they're not going to do nothing for the Palestinian people. They're going to get slaughtered. You know, it's a joke. It's a joke. And these Arab countries, they ain't going to do shit either because, you know, they're going to get Samson options. Why they're not moving? And the
They're not going to do it. Yeah, nobody's going to do anything. They're not going to risk their own national security for the Palestinians. People don't get it. The Palestinians have not done a great job public relations-wise in the region. They're not trusted as people, frankly. I'll be honest. They're not Palestinians are not trusted people. You've got a class of them that are shysters a little bit, you know, not ethical, and so people aren't really happy with them.
You got a class of people in Tel Aviv that are shysters too.
You know, 100%. 100%.
If it was the only other foot and the Palestinians were being armed and funded and ran all the banks and controlled all the countries, major countries in the West, would they be shysters? No, it would be the Israelis. We'd be saying, they're the shysters. Bomb them to hell.
Well, they're both shysters. Let's be honest. I agree with you. They're both shysters.
I agree. This is all a psyop. This is a psyop to take us into the Third World War, where the Muslims, political Zionism, and the Muslims destroy each other. Pike's letter to Manzini.
Pike's letter was the Christians and the Muslims destroy each other, and then the Jews get to rise to the top.
Well, yeah.
That's Pike's letter.
No, let me think. No, political Zionism destroys Christianity, and the Muslims both. They're destroying both of them.
Yeah.
Then you add in these rapture idiots.
I like the Islamic version. The Islamic version is that everybody figures it out. The Israelis are the great Shaitan, which is Satan, and the Christians and the Muslims get together and they blow the shit out of the Jewish people. And then we try to solve our differences together and let's live in peace. That's the Islamic one.
Yeah, well, that ain't going to happen because it all comes out of the city financial district of London. They want the world and they want it depopulated. And they're following the letter to a T. To a T. And you know what? Putin in Russia. There's no air defense. They have no air defense to speak of in Ukraine. They don't have bombers. Why aren't they bombing the front lines with their heavy bombers?
You know.
I mean, do you imagine in World War One, if Germany, listen, hear me out. If Germany had bombers and the British and the French and the Americans didn't have bombers to a capability, do you think Germany wouldn't have bombed those front lines to no end with their military superiority through the air? They don't.
You know, I've said the same thing. Why aren't the Russians just carpet bombing those frickin' tunnels or those trenches? Why aren't you just carpet bombing them? It's not like you've got a lot to worry about.
Yeah, they don't do it because they're in on it. They're in on it. Turkey's in on it. They're crypto Jews. I mean, the young Turks came in and wiped out the Armenians. Has Turkey really changed that much? The Saudis, Wahhabism, Islamic Brotherhood, all comes out of the financial district of London. I mean, you know, you put these pieces together and you're looking what's going on. It's not hard. It's all a big psyop. They're taking us to war. They're talking about the draft in the United States. I learned yesterday
They moved like 800 soldiers out of training and they put them in the draft board division. It's like, what the hell is this? You know, you guys getting...
No, the draft board civilian. They moved from once a year meeting by county. The draft boards are by county. To once a year as a formality, just, you know, to have the draft board there. They just were ordered to meet once a month. So what's that tell you? They're getting ready to, you know, send our boys over there and our women too. You know, like I tell my kids, my son-in-law, my daughter. I said, you got two kids. I said, but these, you know, and they don't want to listen to shit. You know, they block me out. My wife hasn't talked to me in like 4 weeks.
Yeah, I got a nice I got another caller on the line, but just stay on. I got a nice clip of a woman about the draft that's coming up. Listen to this one.
The confrontation between commanding officers and the girls. You think we're going to let you yell at us? You think we're going to do something without a please and thank you?
We've all had controlling ex-boyfriends. We know not to put up with that bullshit. Like, let's sit down and have a conversation about what you want and what I want, and we'll reach a happy medium. Because there's no way I'm doing what you want when you use that tone with me. You think you can push us around like you do with these men? Think again, baby. You're going to learn some manners if women are drafted to the.
Yeah, well, you know, that's.
Can you imagine? That's the attitude of some of the women out there. Like, we're just going to, let's have a talk, dude. You know, you need to shut the frick up, lower your tone.
I keep telling my kids, I said, you're not going to be able to live the way you live. First of all, this time next year, you're not going to be afford to eat out of a supermarket. I went to the store yesterday and bought 2 half-pound cheeses, a turkey, a half pound of a turkey, a half pound of roast beef, it came to a half gallon of orange juice, 2 bags of cough drops, $45 at Kroger. Now, next year, it's going to be 90. How's anybody going to be able to live on that? They're not. Because they're
going to my son's well-to-do, and he says, Dad, it's like crazy how expensive things are now. And he's lucky, you know. He's lucky. And he said, "I can't believe this." I said, "Tried to tell you, dude, get the hell out."
Hopefully, there'll be rebellion. You know, because and these Christian Zionists, these idiots that I live here. I went to a couple of their churches. Mm-hmm. They rolled up the Israeli flag, you know, and 47 million of them. In this country, most of them.
Yeah, they're the main problem in America.
Oh, they are.
They are the main problem.
I told one of these women who was an evangelist knocking on doors. I was into my cardiologist, and we went at it. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I told her, I said, you think you're going to sit there and send my kids to go fight for the friggin' Jews while you stand here waiting for your God, you know, to be raptured while my kids are getting slaughtered in the draft? I said, there's another thing coming. I said, you'll be my enemy then. You'll be my enemy. And you can stand around all you want, and you're going to be here at the end. I said, you know what's going to happen? All these millions coming over the border in Texas, military-age males. I said, yeah, your God, your Satan God government in Washington is going to arm them. The Mossad's going to arm them, and they're going to become gunning for you. And you're going to stand back. I said, it's a psyop, lady. To get you stand down and do nothing. And that's exactly what you're doing. The draft comes back here in Texas. They enforce it. I'm shooting. And I'm looking for you idiots out there. And she just looked at me. And, you know, let's go. Bring it on.
All right.
Bring the
draft on. Let's run along because I got another caller. I got another caller on the line. Thanks for the call. Lonnie's got to get in touch.
Yeah. I keep waiting.
I'm learning.
Snipers, this, you know, that he keeps bragging about, you know, going offline. When's he going to start shooting these idiots? Come on, man. Come on, Lonnie. You get a shot at Trudeau. Come on, baby. Stop speaking the shit.
All right. Let's move along. I get you. All right. Let's run out to the phones to, I don't have the name, but South Carolina. Hi. Welcome to Inside the Air Live.
Hey, Dennis. Am I coming through okay?
You're coming through fine. Hi, how are you?
Just fine. I'll let you know that I'm getting a lot of echo. Hold on a second. Maybe that echo will go away. You're streaming through Revolution Radio Studio A up until about 10 minutes ago. Then all of a sudden, it went blank.
Oh, really? Well, good for them. Yes, I was a very good show for them. They should carry me. So
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, that's a smart move on their part. Now, one more thing. I can't hear anybody else talking. I can hear you, but I can't hear anybody else talking or anything you're playing on there. So there's a one-way street here somewhere.
I don't think so.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm listening on the phone, and I can hear you, but I can't hear anybody else talking.
That's kind of bizarre.
And I didn't know. Now, before you were cut off 10 minutes ago, I could hear Reed calling in, and he wasn't totally being honest with you. A lot of people attack Jim Fetzer, and if you listen to him very carefully, he's pretty much right on target. Reed had a very, very bad habit of interrupting and not backing off when Fetzer tried to answer his questions. And Reed would come in and try and get the negative and steal the show, and Fetzer wasn't going to let it happen. And he was very, Fetzer was very patient with him. He let him get away with it two or three times. He said, look, enough's enough. He said, you let me answer your questions. And he wouldn't, and Reese wouldn't let him do it. So Reese didn't tell you the whole, he didn't tell you the whole truth.
Actually, we prefer not to even brought up here. We have our own show. We don't care what's going on with other shows, frankly. But if you think we're doing a good, if you think we're doing a good show, okay, great, because we try to do a good show. And part of the reason we're a good show is we don't involve drama for the most part. It's not the greatest radio.
Very good. I think one of my biggest concerns right now, and you just brought it up with your son, is that the people, the word we're getting is that they're getting ready to open up the draft, and a lot of the military are going to be recruiters, and we're given a warning: don't do anything about the draft, don't join the military. It's been taken over. It's a slaughterhouse. Is what it's going to end up being. Is what it's going to be. So we're looking for not we are, but there's people out there looking for volunteers to help Netanyahu commit suicide. This man is a nutcase. He's a war criminal, and he needs to be dealt with in the worst rash way. And then when the Knesset won't get him stopped, they need to be, next time they meet, they need to be chain locked into their meeting room with the doors, and then they simply gaslight the Edomites, and that takes care of the problem right there.
You know, a true story. I used to deal with some Americans that were training the Israelis. And I would say, of course, I was always anti-Israel going way back. And they would tell me, Fetch, you know, you're just too harsh. You're not being fair. That, you know, it's not so bad here, yada, yada, yada. And then I finally, just over time, just kept being persistent. They admitted to me, they said, you know what? Yeah, a lot of what you say is true, but we have hopes for the Knesset to turn things around. I'm like, well, shit, you've been arguing me all this time and trying to make it sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. And now you're telling me and the audience that, you know, you're hopeful that the Knesset can turn things around, that there is a good peace inside here. I said, there's a good peace everywhere, but how big is it? And how much strength could they really have to pull something off? And in Israel, it's too small. Israel's a nutcase nation. That's a great joke. Well, Israel's a nutcase nation.
The occupants of the U.S. government are the same way, and Congress needs to be dealt with also. There's some very, very bad stuff going on. We're harboring war criminals here, and they need to be dealt with. Former presidents that we have, also Henry Kissinger is also a war criminal, Hillary Clinton, Blinken, who else is out there, Obama, Bush, they're all war criminals and they need to be dealt with. Everybody's being paid off is a problem. And let me give you a real quick heads up about this draft thing. One of the worst problems over in Israel is that, you know, that Tel Aviv is the homosexual capital of the world. Well, the problem with the IDF, the Israeli Defense, the reason why they drafted females is because they have a very serious problem with 50% of the IDF men were homosexuals, and they had to get some backup. So that's why they brought the women in. And now they want to draft here. They want to draft here in the States. They want not only the men from 18 to 26, but they want to take the women too. And that's going to be a very serious problem, because I think you're going to see Congress is going to get some blowback, and Congress is going to find out that there's going to be a lot of people wearing yarmulkes are going to be disappearing. We're not going to tolerate to put up that crap from anybody anymore. We've had enough of this damn nonsense. The best thing you could do with these damn Jews is let them become merchants. That's it. The Byzantine Empire lasted 1,400 years because they wouldn't allow them into their system. They wouldn't allow them into politics. They wouldn't allow them to become gatekeeper positions, positions of power, authority. Next thing you want to do is herd them into a corral and breed themselves off this planet. Those who do not agree with that, you pack them into cattle cars, you send them to the nearest kosher slaughterhouse, you tell them one last thing, you're about ready to be turned into soil and green fertilizer, and that's the end of it. These people are destroyers of countries and cultures, and they need to be dealt with. And I mean right now. Germany, rise up and get this taken care of. Get these people out of your country and your culture. That's it.
You know, it's so bad in France, just to put this in perspective, what you just said, that if you criticize
Macron, the president, happens to be Jewish. Listen.
It's actually, they're putting forward a law now in their Congress that to criticize a Jew is a 2-year felony. Just to criticize, it's a 2-year felony. Insulting, not criticizing. If you insult a Jew, it's a 2-year felony. It's like, what the hell is this? You're basically literally telling a group that's like, you know, if you make a law like that, I was thinking, what's the comparison? It's kind of like giving pharmaceutical companies a product liability. They can do whatever the hell they want because you can't insult them. You know what I mean? The politicians, that's like giving Jewish politicians immunity because now you can't say anything. If you dare to insult me and I get to decide what's an insult, 2 years in prison for you. And I'm like, how in the hell do countries allow this crap to happen? You know what I mean? How do you have national assemblies?
I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's actually the judges who are being bought off, and if they don't cooperate, and they get feedback from that, and they get blowback from that. But here's the problem. If I should ask you, you're on a real good subject, and that is, if I should ask you personally, what does their term anti-Semitic? What does that mean to you personally?
Yeah, it just means that I'm aware of what Jews are doing to everybody. Because it's basically acknowledging the truth.
Well, aren't the Semites the people that the Jews hate?
Yeah, I don't like to get into that argument because I don't know.
Here's the problem. That term anti-Semitic does not apply. Jews are not Semites. That's what I'm trying to say. Jews are not Semites, and they tried to turn the whole system around by thinking that if you're anti-Semitic, well, you know, that's a joke. I'll let it go at that. But anybody who believes that anti-Semitic means anti-Jew, you better start thinking how they're twisting your mind up with the media, the social media that they've controlled and thrown it right down your throat. It's pretty obvious what they're doing. You just have to start blowing back on them. That's all.
Yep. Yeah. It's a mind battle for the mind, your soul, your spirit, and ultimately the entire nation. And our nation is in big trouble, but, let's see what Trump does, right? Because unfortunately, Trump's followers, I think, are just too brain dead, honestly. You know what I mean? They're just too brain dead. I'm not saying he shouldn't be president because the people want him. Okay, fine. They want him. He's done a great job, you know, as far as campaigning, yada, yada, yada. But again, we need a seat at the table. You know, you can't make America great again if everything is Israel first. Bottom line, dude. Can't make America great again.
I think I'm getting over here is that as far as Trump is concerned, they like to have him on the ball team, but they don't want to be him. They don't want to be in quarterback.
Yeah, something to that effect. We need much more better people behind the scenes. He can go ahead and deliver some of the messages, but dude, your decisions the past 4 years, some of them have led us to where we are today, and you got to take credit for that. You know, you got to be responsible.
I think what they need to do is that they need to go ahead and neutralize the Democrats and Republican parties, wipe them out, and then have one party that is going to take America, do what's right for America and for America's people. You call it the Do Right Party, and the rest of it sucks, and the rest of it goes straight to hell. This is insanity to have two parties arguing about each other back and forth. This is a setup is what this is. These people have got to go.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, dude. You know, it's completely out of whack.
And here we have was this 40 damn ships over there in the Mediterranean, and they're trying to get the borders for Ukraine and also Israel. Well, Ukraine is nothing more than part of greater Israel. And what we need is our border right there closed down. But they won't. It's pretty obvious what's going on, and the people behind it are going to get what's coming to them. They think they're going to walk away from it. No, they won't. They're going to be put in front of firing squads, and it's going to be some examples set of what happens when you mess with America, and it's grassroots. You're going to get yourself exactly what you deserve.
Well, again, let's see. You know what I mean? We hear that. It's been talked for years and decades now, at least over 10 years since we've been doing this. And we will see.
If people honestly don't think that the Middle Eastern people who have lost families over there and relatives through this Jewish cabal, we got cells over here right now. They're going to light up. And you think that once they start lighting up, they're going to stop. We'll have a civil war in this country for the next 100 years. So something's got to be done about these people. They've got to be stopped.
Yeah. Nobody can disagree with that. Right now, everyone's just kind of disagreeing on how it's going to get done. You know, is it going to be through the vote? Is it going to be through the gun? You know, a combination of both? We don't know, but we will have to see.
Yeah, well, the voting, you can forget about that. That's all rigged, and politics don't work. The talk is over with, and it's time to probably the ammo box is next, and you just selectively take out those people who are influential and are anti-Americans. You look for anti-Americans, and you'll find out real quickly it won't last too much longer. And then they can become merchants and merchants only. Never allowed in politics or gatekeeper positions. Never. Their behaviors and their reputations precede them. Why would any decent person walking this earth ever want to be a Jew with their reputation? And everybody says, well, it's not all of them. Yes, it is all of them. They're all part of the same clan. They're all Jews, and that's the end of it. With the Messianic, they're Christian. No, there's no such thing as a Christian Jew. No such thing. And that's a bunch of bullcrap, too. So it's a religious nonsense. They need to just be put on top of one great big mountain and let it snow all the time and just freeze them up.
Okay, Mike, let me run because we're almost out of time. I want to get one more clip in. You know, I got to give me your code name there. Got to get a code name for him. Let's see. Last clip I wanted to play for you was coming out of Kennedy. Robert Kennedy, the independent now, what do you call this? Independent candidate for president. And he has a new campaign out.
Trump locked down 3.3 million businesses. And, you know, what did that do? It shifted everything to Amazon. 41% of the black-owned businesses that were closed during COVID will never reopen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those businesses had three generations of equity in them. I drove through Lee Harvard, which is one of the poorest districts in Cleveland, and it was a booming area 5 years ago. Today, every single one of those stores is boarded up. And, you know, I talk to people every day in the African-American community whose businesses were wiped out, and that's what happened. We shifted $4 trillion in wealth from the working poor and the middle class to the super rich in this country. We stripped by the black community of its equity during this pandemic. And, you know, how do you rebuild that? Now, that is the big issue for our country. How are we going to rebuild equity with the working poor in this country? If you like this video.
And that's a Kennedy advertisement for his presidential campaign. But it's in a very key point. And again, I like a lot of what this guy says. Some people say, yeah, he's not so great. But again, you got to agree where you got to agree, guys. And I agree with what he said. Strip mining, not just the black community, but a lot of communities in America. $4 trillion, everybody. Imagine $4 trillion. Well, the answer is very simple. You got to claw back the $4 trillion. And you got to take it out of the hands of the people that stole it and get it back into the hands of the people. And you don't do that through taxes. You're going to do that through wealth confiscation. I don't want to go full communist, but if you steal money through a process that is essentially criminal, which is what the COVID scam was, then you should be able to have that forfeited and it goes back to the people. How that happens has to be worked out from the American people. How do we make it happen? But the idea that they can just strip mine everybody of $4 trillion, transfer that to their own bank accounts, while the middle class in America is completely imploded, then you create too much money in the system, not enough production, that you have inflation up on everything. You go after the food supply, you go after the medical, you go after pretty much the mind, if you want to add that in. And when it's all said and done, folks, it's impossible, frankly, for us to tolerate this as a nation. You just can't let this continue and carry on. The oligarchs of this country are a criminal class. And why they are allowed to continue to persist in business is, again, beyond me. But it's certainly something that we're going to have to look at moving forward. And with that, we're going to just call the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, Inside the Eye Live. See you next Saturday. Good night, everybody.